Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Well, how was your weekend? Turns out, while you're out, state of Illinois has changed a few things. Can gamble now. Weed's going to be legal. You're going to pay more for gasoline. What? You missed the memo on this? Pat Brady will join us later to try to explain all of this. But let me go to Steve first. Hello, Steve.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello, Steve. Are you there, Steve?
I'm here. Good morning.
Hello, Steve. The main things, as I understand it, are that are going to change our world are eventually we're going to have a casino in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And in Waukegan.
Oh, in Waukegan as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In addition to that, weed will be legal.
Yes.
By the way,
starting January 1st, I believe.
Try not to combine those two.
Right.
Gambling and weed. Mm. I'm not an expert on it. I'm just saying common sense would tell me.
You also don't want to combine that with the gas tax.
Gas tax a quarter more?
No, I believe it's going to, I think it'll end up being like 30 cents more,
30
right?
30 cents more again.
Something like that. Yeah,
prices are up again.
Yes. Which means downtown Chicago, like for instance, right across from the Rock and Roll McDonald's on Ontario, there's a station there.
You don't go there.
I don't want to. Listen, I don't want to say which station it is. It rhymes with BP.
Yeah.
And that station, I believe, after this gas tax kicks in, will be about $47 a gallon.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth noting that the gas tax hasn't been raised since 1990.
Yeah. No, it's not unfair. It's just a shock.
In addition to the state, localities will be able to add another 3 cents onto that if they want.
Oh,
nice.
So, yeah.
Well, and didn't we also hear that license plate fees are going up?
Yeah, like 50 bucks. 50 bucks?
Yep.
Oh, that's awful.
Registrations, new driver's license things are all going up. Not 50 bucks in the driver's license, but all of that stuff is going to see fee increases.
But your tags, right?
Yeah, the tags.
Yeah, right. But it's not 50 for each one. It's for you get them by the pair. So,
well, we think.
Mary Vanderbilt, yeah, right. What were you saying?
The more cars you have, it's bad. My husband has just been griping about this for like 3 days now about the car license.
When did you realize you were married to a grumpy old man?
Oh, my gosh. Years. Yeah, it's getting pretty bad in the house. Of course, he is a Republican.
Wow. Well, Steve and I don't get along that much anymore.
Yeah.
Actually, if he's a traditional Republican, I like him just fine.
Well, he's not that much. But yeah, well, okay.
If he's putting up Trump flags, we're going to have an issue.
And he does have the BB gun in the garage problem.
Well, that's fine, too. Anyway, it is a lot of changes, and a lot of us did not get the memo, as I said. So we're going to take some phone calls from you guys this morning, throughout the morning. Text messages welcome as well.
I was struck by the kumbaya of it all, the bipartisan nature of it all, the Republicans and Democrats working together on stuff. I was a little taken aback by all of that.
Let me get Pat Brady's take on it. I don't know if Patty Vasquez is still awake at this hour, but if you are, call the hotline. Hey, Super Joe? Heads up if Patty Vasquez calls the hotline. Let's get her on as well, because she was down there all weekend as well, and she can give us some insight. But yeah, you're right, Steve. The kumbaya. Oh, yeah, we're all friends here. Now, wouldn't you think the governor and would want to be on the show today? Wouldn't you think the governor would want to be on touting how successful he was?
Yeah, what time's he on?
Crickets.
Well, he was up late.
Saturday?
Well, he did a lot of stuff late into the day yesterday, too, doing news conferences.
Oh, he must be so tired.
Illinois
couldn't
back.
Possibly pick up the phone and call.
He said, Illinois is back. That's what it was.
Governor Pritzker, you're welcome to come on and talk about how great you are and answer a few questions in the process. Mike Madigan's welcome as well. Madigan now at show number 1,386 without calling, and I'm very worried about him. We may have to send out a posse. So, the other voice here is Viv. Vivian, should we say your last name, or you like Madonna? You only go by Vivian.
No, you can say my last name.
Which is?
Lanou.
Vivian Lanou. Vivian is sitting in for Sandberg, who's off the show. for good.
No.
No, she can come back. She's welcome to come back. By the way, did you guys notice she already put up stupid detectors in the programming wing? If you go into the programming wing, there's a stupid question detector. It goes off if she thinks you're going to ask her a stupid question.
I didn't go that way. I avoided the programming wing.
I'm not going that way ever again.
Is it like a loud horn noise, or was it like fog that comes out or smoke that comes out?
I think it's just her voice saying, get out.
Oh.
Yeah. So, in other words,
and you get shocked.
Ready to go. Anyway, Sandberg is now management, but she will be on this show this week. And occasionally as well. We're still working things out. We're in negotiations with the voices in my head. So we'll get to all that. Michael Reagan later on something he's doing, which is important. This is the anniversary week for D-Day. The president has landed in London. It's all on the Top 6 at 6. Right
now. From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks. With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
All right, let's review. Betting, gambling, that's one. Weed is two. A $45 billion capital construction plan. Did they sneak anything into that, Steve?
I haven't gone through the whole thing, but I have to tell you, there's some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
They're going to rebuild the veterans home in Quincy that was the subject of that Legionnaires outbreak.
Yep.
There's money for schools, money for new bridges, roads, you name it. It's in there. I'm sure they threw some stuff in there that we haven't seen yet.
That may be where the license tag part of this went. That may be in that portion of it.
Yeah, could be.
And weed, legalized weed. So
yeah, and that's, you know, that's kind of cool because I'm not a weed person, but this is going to have wide-ranging impacts on the economy of the state. That we had recently in the opening bell, the Restaurant Association has already been planning for this, the Illinois Restaurant Association.
Imagine how hungry people
will be. Because you will, well, not only that, but they will be able to serve desserts that are made with marijuana.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, like a brownie. So they use the oil from the marijuana. It's a
CBD oil.
I think it's not. I don't think it's something butter. They make a butter out of it, and so then they can use that to make brownies and cookies. And it's the things that you would buy for medical. It's the edibles, is what they're called.
Oh, that's the spread called "I Can't Believe It's Not Pot."
Yeah, it's right. Right.
But I don't think you walk into the Palm and say, I'd like some edibles, right? I
mean, Do you have any specials in drugs?
It is coming, not only
really?
In desserts, but in drinks as well at the bar. So
it's like you don't ask for gluten-free. You ask for, you know,
marijuana-filled.
Now, we have, Viv, I don't want to frighten you, but we have a surprising number of non-pot smokers and dealers here. I've never had it, ever.
Okay.
Because I would be frightening on it. Steve, we forgot. Have you tried it?
In Amsterdam, I did.
Okay.
Me too.
Yes.
In Amsterdam.
Yes.
But it had like a space cake.
What's a space cake?
It's like a cupcake, but it's chocolate and it's delicious.
And it's got the extra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mary Vanderbilt?
What?
Did you inhale?
I tried it in college. I did, but okay. I almost threw up, so
Dave?
I tried it once.
Not as far as you know.
Dave's still opening the door to run for office at some point.
You can't portray me as a boozer and then turn around.
Oh, that's true.
He's a pothead, too.
I got to pick a lane here.
Yeah, the categories are set.
Yeah.
Super Joe?
I'm still celebrating from the weekend, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's good. Yeah. And Michael?
Also once in Amsterdam.
Why it was all in Amsterdam?
When in Rome, right?
Like
It was legal, and it was, you know, it's something you do when you go to Amsterdam.
Here's the weird thing. I believe, Steve, I don't believe you or Joe. I mean, I believe it was Amsterdam, but I believe it may have happened in other places. You're Michael, I should say. Joe's celebration, we'll get to that in just a second. Next! Governor Pritzker signed the bill, 11th state in the nation to legalize cannabis, and the first state in which the legislature approved commercial sales. Only 20 existing licensed medical marijuana cultivation facilities will be licensed to grow it. Next year, craft growers will apply. Craft growers, I love that. So like craft brewery, Steve, is that what that means? Craft growers of pot?
I believe you're going to see all kinds of things. That's one of them, yeah.
Well, there's lots of new revenue possibilities here, lots of new business possibilities. And you can grow it in your own home. I don't know how much, so be careful. Medical cannabis patients will be allowed to grow up to 5 plants each at your house. Can recreational pot users grow it at their house?
I believe that was part of the bill, yes.
I understand it's hard to grow. Is that right?
I did not grow any in Amsterdam, but based on what I've been able to research, it is. You have to have a special knack for it. There's lighting, and there's all kinds of
mood
things
music.
With the soil. Mood, exactly.
And who the heck is going to come and count how many plants you have at home growing?
The pot police.
Right. Listen, it's been difficult for me to come to grips with the how many joints can you do with 30 grams?
Yeah.
And so I Googled this several times, and then I finally just called one of the lawmakers and asked, and it's about 30 joints.
What if you got Cheech and Chong with one giant one? No.
You shoot up all of your stuff in 1 month then real quickly.
312-981-7200 if you want to talk about any of this. We'll get to that in the next break. Another mass shooting.
Terrible.
This is another thing that was barely on the radar this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's how used to it we are. And that's what's so sad about the whole thing. This gunman who actually gave his 2 weeks' notice Friday morning, this is so bizarre, left and then came back and killed 12 people. He was killed in a gunfight with the police. One policeman was shot. If not for his bulletproof vest, he may not be with us as well. They're still trying to figure out why. The neighbors said he was quiet. He kept to himself. You know, that story's been told a few times. Nobody seems to know.
You know, you're right. When the story broke on Friday, it wasn't the wall-to-wall coverage that we've seen on these things in the past. That's what when I saw it online, I was like, how did this happen? And you didn't even hear about it.
It's one of the worst office shootings in history. The fact that we have to categorize these is crazy, too.
Yes.
The fact that we're just going, oh, wow, that is terrible. Does every city in the country have to have this happen before we do anything? Yeah, I tweeted out this weekend, and I still believe this is true, and I will believe this is true. You're not going to take everybody's guns. Second Amendment's not going anywhere. But by the same token, you can't not do anything. So how about that we just stop with the silencers and the extended magazines, because this animal had both. And the silencers caused some people to walk into gunfire. At least they think that's what happened, because they didn't know what the noise was. And then secondarily, the extended magazines allowed them to kill more people and also stay in a gunfight with police longer. So can we just eliminate those two? Can we start there?
It's a start.
It's a good start.
Next, President Trump landed in Britain this morning for a 5-day tour. Put the jewelry away.
Prince Charles went out and met him, not the Queen. The chopper landed in back of Buckingham Palace, and Prince Charles went out and greeted him and Melania.
As he was landing, he was tweeting out hardcore insults to the mayor of London, because the mayor had insulted, in President Trump's mind, him as well. The President of the United States, I'm holding my hand up here. Can you tell? And you got the mayor of London. Mayor of London's a big job, but it's not the President of the United States. And again, he can't let anything go. He can't just let it go. So while he's landing in their country, he's talking about what a stone-cold loser, his words, the mayor of London is.
What about the Meghan Markle thing over the weekend where he called her nasty, or he hadn't called her nasty during the campaign?
He said, I didn't know she was nasty, in response to a British reporter's question,
right,
and telling him that she had made some comments during the 2016 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That's on tape. And then he denied saying that he said she was nasty. I mean, you know,
he just likes that word nasty. He's called so many women nasty.
Well, this morning, I guess it was Khan. He threw Bill de Blasio in here as well and made a short joke about Sadiq Khan as well. But he threw nasty in again this morning.
Likes and the word.
As he was waiting for the chopper doors to open, he tweeted out another little nugget about CNN and AT&T. He's asking, he tells people that they should boycott AT&T because of the ownership of CNN. And fake news, blah, blah, blah. When the world watches CNN, it gets a false picture of the USA. Sad. AT&T is an American company that employs about 200,000 Americans.
And he's telling people to boycott it.
Boycott it.
Makes no sense.
Because of his beef with CNN.
And Pelosi is doing what? Still hiding?
Yeah, I don't know.
Next. We'll get back to the British stuff in a moment.
Good, I can't wait.
Former President Obama attended Game 2 of the NBA Finals wearing a cool leather jacket. Got a nice round of applause as well.
He's sitting with Adam Silver, wasn't he?
Adam Silver, who, God bless him, but Adam Silver looks like he's just angry.
Yeah.
He's not an attractive man.
Dude.
He's a tall, scary-looking dude. He's kind of like Lurch's skinnier brother. And He didn't look like he was enjoying Obama for a second.
He doesn't come across that way, though, when he speaks. He's
jovial?
Not. Well, I wouldn't use that term.
Anyway, Golden State wins. When are the Blues and the Bruins play again?
Tonight. Okay. Tonight, and boy, the Blues need that one. They look
must
bad.
It's a must-win situation.
Yep.
And finally, what you could argue is the most important story of the weekend, Super Joe Romano this show. It delivered the lineup at the Sox game yesterday. Delivered a win.
That's right.
Yeah, and delivered the lineup. I don't even know how that works. Did you have the lineup card?
I did. You know who gave it to me?
No.
Super Joe McEwing.
Really? Okay. And then, so you take it out to the circle of umps and the two managers?
I sure did.
Do you shake everybody's hands?
I did. Even the Indians guy.
That's very cool, Joe.
And your giant picture up there on the scoreboard. You got a still of that, I hope.
I sure did. Yeah, Mazur took a picture from up in the White Sox booth. My brother was on the field with me. Bobby was on the field with me. He took a few pictures. Just when I thought I couldn't look any better, boom, they put me on the jumbo track.
Absolutely.
It's available on the front page at WGNRadio.com, by the way.
Got to check it out.
And I don't know if this is widely known. The White Sox were going to start Manny Banuelos yesterday.
Did Joe
took the card, scratched out Banuelos, and put in Lucas Giolito.
Yeah, I actually wrote future Cy Young Award winner Lucas Giolito.
Yeah.
And they started.
You want him to be known as Cy Giolito now?
Indeed,
just to shorten it. Yeah. Okay.
And my penmanship is just spot on, baby.
So how did the manager take it? How did the skipper take it when you changed his lineup? Well, was he cool with it?
There was the middleman between Ricky. They sent Super Joe out to talk to me. The other Super Joe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I don't know exactly what Ricky's reaction was, but
apparently
it went over well because they won their sixth and seventh for the week. You know, they really dominated.
And Giolito just played a role. There's no question about it. So did you stay on the field during the game?
Yeah, I was actually right down the left field line. I'm not sure if you guys could see me.
Just leaning behind the bat boy or ball boy or ball girl, I should say.
Yeah.
Security had to drag him off.
Jump out of the way of a foul ball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have you been on the field for pregame stuff before?
Not for pregame stuff,
no. Isn't it cool?
Oh, it's really cool. It was such a great experience. The White Sox are so nice. Everybody from the top down. It was really cool to be out there.
That's great. That's great. I'm happy, man. Happy for you.
Thank you.
312-917-200. Texters, phone calls. You want to talk about weed? You want to talk about gambling? You want to talk about... And you're just turning the radio on. Listen, I'm not describing your weekend. And also, I saw the Elton John movie this weekend. It's just as good as Dean said.
Is it?
Rocketman? Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
It's great.
Can't wait.
It's great. All right, we're way late here. We'll come back and do more in a second.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Tribune Media President Larry Wirt's favorite segment of the week. I'm not sure he listens to anything else on the show other than this, but don't screw it up for me, okay, Doc?
I'll try not to. Larry's such a great guy. You're fortunate to have a good boss like he is.
Why are you sucking up? You don't work for him.
I don't. I not at all.
Dr. Kevin Most back from, I assume, a great weekend in Pinehurst.
We did. You know, the brothers went down and played. We played course 2, course 4, and then we played Pine Needles, where they just played the U.S. Women's Senior. And, we had a lot of fun. A lot of fun, a lot of golf shots.
Yeah. Well, who played best? Which are the Most brothers?
You know what? Overall, I would say Kurt probably played the best. David, obviously, is better than all of us. But Brad and I, we kind of sucked it up right there in the middle.
Held your own.
Yeah.
All right, good to hear. Well, it sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, it was. It was a great time.
And later today, we will see you. Dave and I are joining Ted Albrecht, and Pat Brady will join us as well as part of the big annual, I think, 39th year of the outing later today at Medina.
Yeah, I can't thank you guys enough for coming out and supporting. You know, it's interesting. We try to find a worthy cause each year for these monies that are raised, and this year is kind of special for me because, you know, I'm serving as the chief medical officer at Marion Joy as well, and our focus is going to be on the pediatric rehabilitation side of Marion Joy, which people probably don't understand. They don't get it. They're like, why do we need pediatric rehabilitation? And it's one of those where Once you hear about it and once you know, you're like, wow, this really makes a huge impact on these children.
I've been at Marion Joy on various occasions for various reasons, almost all of them professional. And it's an amazing facility. I mean, with people that have some of the toughest work in medicine, and they come to work with a smile on their face every day, and they help people get their lives back.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we're fortunate in Chicago. We have two phenomenal rehabilitation hospitals. Now, I'm biased. I think Marion Joy is probably number one. But,
well, you're running it. Of course you're biased.
Correct. And then we have Shirley Ryan downtown, which, again, is another great facility. But, yeah, you know, what they do at these facilities is just amazing. They take these individuals that, depending on whether it was a stroke or a brain injury, you know, we're going to maximize that individual's ability to function at the highest level going forward. Devastating illness, devastating injury, and yet they're going to maximize everything to try to get you back to as close to normal as you can. The pediatric patient is totally different, right? This is a pediatric patient who may have autism, may have Down syndrome, you know, and though they have delayed motor skills, they have coordination problems, low muscle tone. These are the ones that they're going to teach you how to ride a bike. You know, how to get back to be a normal kid as much as you possibly can, whether it's with Downs or autism or other illnesses.
It's all about maximizing your life, no matter how old you are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the biggest thing right there is what can we do to get you back? You know, we've talked about strokes in the past. You know, when I was a resident, you got an individual who had a stroke. This is prior to TPA. You know, we had to teach you how to eat with your, if you were right-handed, teach you how to eat with your left hand, teach you how to get dressed. Some people still have strokes that are that devastating, and these PM&R doctors and the therapists just work endlessly and tirelessly to get you back to a place where you can function by yourself as much as you possibly could.
And imagine if you're a parent and you have a great doctor that you're seeing with your kids, or maybe a great team of doctors, but you need that extra level of care. And they get you referred to Marion Joy, and you see what they can do there. I mean, it's such a relief for the caregivers, too, right?
Oh, it is. You know, if you look at autism, we'll take something as simple as autism, or even Down syndrome, you know, the numbers of those individuals are very high. So it's not like these are rare cases. Everyone probably knows someone who has a Downs child or has a friend who has an autistic child. So the ability to have these facilities close here where you can get therapy totally advances these children as far as their social skills, as far as their physical skills. And the PM&R docs for pediatrics are amazing, and the therapists, because, you know, you went to therapy for your knees and your back, and they say, okay, Steve, I want you to do this exercise, and then they would teach you how to do the exercise. Try to do that same thing with a four-year-old autistic child.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You have to make the whatever you're trying to do almost into a game, so they have fun doing it, and yet they're getting the goal that they want as far as the movement that they want or the coordination skills that they're trying to build on. So I have such utmost respect for the pediatric side of it as well, because of the ability to communicate with these kids to get that end goal without telling them, all right, I want you to do sit-ups now. You know, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, because they have a way of feeding your vegetables without telling you they're vegetables. My daughter, working with kids with autism, does the same thing. And yeah, all those caregivers are magical.
Yeah, very cool.
Thanks for all the work your staff and you guys do there at Marion Joy, and the work you continue to do at CDH. Looking forward to today, as I mentioned. If you're going to be out at Medina, certainly take the time to say hi. I will emcee the festivities afterwards. And you know my, you know, Doc, you know how I like to run these things. Let's get as much money out of these people as possible and get you home before you're in trouble.
That's great. We appreciate Dave and Ted coming out, and Pat. It's just nice. People hear your voices. It's nice that they can put a face with the voice. Well, in some cases, put a face with the voice.
Yeah. The thing you worry about is them putting the golf swing with the voice.
Yeah.
In some cases.
Dave. Yeah, there is that. There is that. Let's talk a little mosquitoes in West Nile when we come back, okay?
Yep.
Stand by for that. More with Dr. Kevin Most in just a second. With Dr. Kevin Mullen, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Doc, later today, I will once again talk with legendary Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill on this D-Day anniversary week. 75th anniversary of D-Day is Thursday. Rob O'Neill is a guy that took out Bin Laden.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That'll be so fascinating just to hear, you know, what his thought process was, what was going through his mind, and how he's dealing with it now.
I don't remember if it was on the air or off, Dave, but last time we talked to Rob O'Neill, the question came up. I said, or somebody said, you could kill me with your bare hands, and Rob, or with a, you could kill me with a pencil. And Rob O'Neill said, what makes you think I'd need a pencil? Yeah. Yikes. I'm sorry, Viv. What'd you say?
Alrighty then.
Yes, exactly. Alrighty then seems to be the perfect response. By the way, Doc, say hi to Viv.
Hi, Viv. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. You got some big shoes to fill, huh?
I sure do.
I don't think you should make fun of the size of Mary's feet. You're going to get yourself
in
trouble. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Let's talk a little West Nile. Is it a danger this year?
Well, I'm not sure it's going to be it. I guess I should say it will be a danger. You know, think about the weather that we've had here. You know, with all this rain we've had and standing water that we've had, the mosquito counts are way up already. And unfortunately, we already have mosquitoes that have tested positive for West Nile and DuPage County. So, yeah, we're probably going to look at a lot more cases this year than we've had in past years.
It's particular spots, you know, the primary issues?
Yeah, I mean, I think that wherever we've had a ton of rain, you're going to start to see more and more mosquitoes. And if you have that virus there, it's going to spread. If you remember, this is a virus that we knew since 1940 in Africa, but it came to the United States in 1999. And in 20 years now, we thought it would take years to get all the way across the country. Now it's everywhere. But now we start to focus on it because it's an illness that we're going to see every single summer now, and people need to be aware of what they can do to prevent it, even though the vast majority of us, I would bet you and I, have already had West Nile and not even known it.
And why is that?
Well, about 80% of people have no symptoms whatsoever, or have symptoms but don't seek any care. So, you know, you get muscle aches, you get a little headache, you get a little fever. In a couple of days it's gone, you're like, oh, okay, not sure what that was. I had a little bug, a typical little virus. So a lot of us probably, if we tested your blood right now, we'd say, yeah, you already had West Nile. Hmm. The ones we get concerned about, obviously, are the seniors and the immunocompromised people because
sorry, of the 100,
yeah, the 176 cases we had last year, we had close to 20 deaths. So, I mean, we're talking, you know, 10% of people who get the diagnosis of it. Can die.
Mary Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I just don't seem to hear it with little kids, though. Do little kids get it? And if they do, what will be the long-term effects on them?
Yeah, they really don't have any long-term effects. And little kids probably do get it quite a bit. It's kind of like, oh, you know, little Timmy's a little, you know, punky today, and he's got a little fever, but then it runs away because their immune system is pretty good, you know, as long as they don't have any underlying illness. So they get over it pretty quickly. And that's one of the issues now is that we're trying to figure out, say, wait a second, if a big portion of us have already had it, including kids, then do we really need a vaccine?
Well, what's the answer?
The answer is going to be interesting. If I told you, hey, we have a new vaccine out, it's for an illness that 80% of people are not going to be bothered with at all, are you going to get in line for it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the gut response is no. But having said that, the last thing I want to say to anybody right now is you don't need a vaccination because of all the nonsense that's gone on that's led to the measles outbreak.
Correct. So this would be a vaccine that I would say after you hit the age of 50, after you hit the age of 60, this should be just like your when it's done, when it's out. It's not out yet. But when you get your pneumonia vaccination, you should also at that time be getting a West Nile vaccination. Now, they're testing it. They're still in production for it. But that's going to be the time because when we look at these, it's the seniors and those immunocompromised, that subset of group of patients should definitely, when the vaccine's available, treat it as if it would for a normal one because that's where it's going to make an impact and save lives.
Shingles vaccine recommended at what age?
50. And, you know, make sure you get it. I don't know.
Insurance doesn't completely cover it, though, right?
Some insurances do, some don't. You have to check. But, you know, that's one that if you haven't had shingles before or if you have had shingles before, you're the one that's going to be saying, oh, my gosh, get it. The discomfort from shingles, Dave, you had shingles, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, my father had it. My father wasn't a big talker, and I remember him looking at me going, you don't want this.
Nope.
Yeah.
Is it still the two-part vaccine?
Yeah, you know, and now there's a new vaccine out So I would definitely make sure that you're getting the new one, and it's not on the tip of my tongue right now, the new name, but if you ask for the new vaccine, it has much better coverage and much broader.
Yeah, because some people forget to get the second one.
Yeah, the bad thing about some vaccines with boosters is you got to have that reminder. So that's the same with the pneumonia vaccine. It's not just one, it's a couple of shots there.
We will see you later today at Medina. We're raising money to help pediatric care and rehab at Mary and Joy. And again, thank you for the work there. Before you go, a question from a listener. My wife has severe depression, and treatment options presented for her are ECT, electroconvulsive treatment,
therapy,
and or ketamine. Thoughts on either one?
You know, ECT is kind of amazing. It's a shock of your brain is what it does. We've had unbelievable success with it here. Ketamine is still in its infancy, you know, as far as a treatment for depression. So if I look historically and I said, which one would I try first, I would probably try ECT. And then if that doesn't work and she's already gone the road with taking antidepressants, then ketamine would probably be a good option. But I'd probably start with ECT.
All right. Good advice from you. You're the doctor. And but the ketamine stuff, and Doc just said it, I mean, it's in its infancy, but we know tons of people have a ton of success with it. Now that nasal spray is going to be out soon. So, you know, it's nice to have new options. Do you ever sit around at home? What am I talking about? You're never home when Jeopardy's on. You ever watch Jeopardy?
No. Is that guy still winning?
Well, he's losing today.
Oh.
Some texters are not happy with you, Steve.
Yeah, I know. I spoiled Jeopardy.
You spoiled it.
A caller was very unhappy. So unhappy that she didn't even want to speak to you on the air.
Oh, boy.
Here's the problem. If the entire world is talking about something, I'm not supposed to talk about it. Is that the rule?
You know, it's like the Olympics. It's like the Olympics. You know, when the Olympics are happening half a world away, and we give an Olympic result, well, it won't be shown till tonight, so you're not supposed to say it. Right. It happened.
But I like that, because then you get to watch, you know, then you're excited about watching it that night, because you know they're going to win.
Okay, then what would you like to talk about between now and 10? Weed? Which we will in a few minutes. Thank you, Doc. We'll see you soon.
You got it. Take care, you guys.
See you later.
And Steve Rzanich is coming up, too. I'll have stories of matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And they, of course, hold on, Doc. Hold on. Doc. Oh, hey, hit him. Over. Sorry, it's my first day. Coming up on 7 o'clock, Steve's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Super Joe, will you do the White Sox trivia question? You want to do it here or you want to do it in the next break?
We will do that at the end of the hour here.
End of this hour?
End of this hour.
Okay, so coming up, White Sox trivia question to give away tickets to a upcoming White Sox game. White Sox are hot, Dave.
They have played very well. Yeah. They really have. This was not a fluky homestand. They went 6-1, but they played good baseball, and except for Saturday. They didn't play well, and they paid the price. But other than that, they've had the pitching has been good. The bullpen's gotten the job done. And Alex Colome coming in and closing out games. And
they've had some on-field guests that have done some great.
I was getting to that, Joe.
That's what I mean. there are some people that are upset with me because of the Jeopardy blurt.
Really? People upset?
Yeah, 773. Thanks for the news about James. Now I don't have time to go buy some weed for his goodbye party. It's legal in Illinois. 312-981-7200 is the number. You want to talk about legalized weed? You want to talk about legalized gambling? You know, we're going to get another Al Capone in this city if we're not careful. You want to talk about the fact that it's going to go up $50 to get your license tag, at least 30 cents, supposedly, for a gallon of gas?
I'm going to ride my bike.
Yeah.
I'm going to ride my bike to work.
Right? 312-981-7200. And maybe you're happy about all that. Look, the money's got to come from somewhere.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Let me get Steve Grzanich back in here. Steve?
Yes?
Let's review again what was passed over the weekend. Pat Brady will join us about a half an hour to talk more in depth about this since he was in Springfield. So if I say to you, Steve, can I gamble? Let's start with sports betting. Can I sports bet?
Yes, you will be able to sports bet. I believe, and I don't know if Dave might be able to chime in on this too, but I think state schools, state universities, and college sports is not included in this gambling.
That's
bill.
What I've. Yeah. That's what I understand.
So you'll be able
to DraftKings and FanDuel, or is there more than that? I mean, I would imagine businesses are going to pop up now that haven't existed.
Well, before. But I think, Steve, that they're going to have sports betting in the existing casinos,
yes,
as well as the new. The Chicago casino, and
so it'll be like Vegas, they'll open sports books.
Yeah, and I think at the racetracks there will be sports books, I believe.
Yeah, and there's even a written into the bill was a they'll be able to do a pilot program at the lottery, the Illinois Lottery, to involve some sort of sports betting as well, but that has not been none of that's been put together yet.
And as we go through these, 312-981-7200 if you want to jump on, you got an opinion on any of this, and also you can text. But as we go through these, they all sound horribly negative. But the thing you have to remember is that we need revenue in this state. I don't know if you heard we're broke, and that money has to come from somewhere. So, Steve, as you go through these, is the money going to go to a general fund? Because, you know, the constant harangue, and I tend to agree with it, is why would we give more money to the dopes who have spent it so poorly in the past?
That's a good question. I think that's going to be something that will, you know, people will watch going forward. My understanding is that a lot of this has been dedicated specifically for infrastructure. Like, for instance, obviously the gas tax 30 is going up to 38 cents a gallon. Future increases are going to be tied to inflation. But legislation ensures that the road fund will be used for that and not for other purposes, specifically not for other purposes.
So the infrastructure, we got bridges that are crumbling, we've got roadways
that
are a mess.
Other public works, state buildings that have fallen into disrepair that have not been taken care of. All of this money is going to be earmarked for that.
And there is a specific bill that answers the rest of that the money doesn't necessarily supply, right?
Yes. Just the stuff that we've been talking about, mm-hmm, could produce up to $700 million next year alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the licensing fees, the tax revenue, those things.
Before the casinos open.
Before the casinos even open.
Okay.
Right?
If I said to you, Steve, I'd love to get me some recreational marijuana, because that's the sentence, really, isn't it? Recreational marijuana, is that going to happen?
It is going to happen, starting probably in January. You'll be able to buy up to 30 grams of marijuana.
And this is a cash business because it's not legal everywhere, so you can't do credit card transactions, correct?
That's a good question. Do you stump me on that one? I don't know.
I would think that's the way they've had to do it in Colorado because, you know, they wire fraud and things like that because credit card companies are in different places and you know, you can't control it just in the state. There's no such thing as just an Illinois credit card.
There are Illinois banks, though, and so the big difference here is a federal bank can't deal in any of these marijuana businesses. But if it's a state bank with state charter, it can.
Okay.
Yeah.
The cash, people get nervous, or at least they did in Colorado and wherever else marijuana has been legalized recreationally. They go, well, how do we control it? I mean, it's a cash business. Isn't that easy to hide and all that stuff? They've been under more scrutiny in Colorado than the regular businesses have. And in all likelihood, because it's new, but because it's cash. So I have no concerns about that. But this money is also going to the weed money?
The weed money? I think it's going to go into the general fund. Okay. I think that's going to be the general fund part of this.
All right. What about a budget? Did we get a budget done?
We did. We got a $45 billion budget. That is balanced according to everybody involved with it. I think you could argue that the pension problem makes it unbalanced, but they're calling it a balanced $45 billion budget that got bipartisan support, by the way. A number of Republicans voted for this as well. Republicans got some things out of this, and Democrats obviously were happy to have them on board, but a lot of bipartisanship in Springfield.
And more on this with Pat Brady coming up. Texters 224, I trust my dealer more than my government. My dealer wouldn't put a sin tax on me.
But see, the difference here now is the state, you're going to be, the marijuana is going to be regulated. So you're not going to get something that's not good. You're going to get only the best. Again, I'm not a marijuana aficionado, but, you know, you buy stuff on the street, you don't know what its quality is. The stuff you're going to buy from a dealer, a licensed dealer, is going to have to be tested by the state to make sure that it's quality.
It's a better vintage, a better red, or a better white.
Nice bouquet.
810 texter, Governor Pritzker's not given the few conservatives in Illinois much reasons to stay. Illinois already has an issue keeping its residents. Well, that's why you go out and vote. That's why you need to go out and vote, and that's why you campaign, because you got to get people in who are going to support your particular beliefs. But the idea that more people would leave the state would be bad. And I'm surprised we haven't seen more of a push to go, well, what happened? Because it was a nice weekend outside and a lot of folks weren't paying attention. I think the assumption was that much of this wasn't going to get done, and then it all got done.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when they announced that the session was going into overtime on Friday, I'm like, okay, here we go. But it was done by Sunday, and that would even surprise me because I was out of the loop most of the day yesterday. And when I came back on and looked at Twitter and some of the news sites, I'm like, wow, they got it all done. It's all done.
Another texter, 406 texter, Steve, when you're through with the Blackhawks in Prague, are you going to Amsterdam to buy weed? Well, now I won't have to. Though I could go get you and Viv and Steve Amsterdam weed souvenirs.
Space cake.
And by the way, if you're wondering, the license registry, you know, we were talking about this in the last hour, license registration. So when you go to renew your driver's license or the license plates, how much is it going to cost? $155.
Yeah, that's a $50
increase.
$101 now, right?
Yeah, it's like $101 something. Yeah,
yeah, $50 increase.
And then for somebody like Cochran, who has the vanity plates.
Vanity plates. And then vanity plates says, guy with big head who does mornings on WGN.
Here's the one I don't understand. The electric vehicle fee. The taxes for electric vehicle going up. Why they singled out electric vehicles, I'm not sure, because isn't the goal to get people to drive more of those? Why would you have those people pay more?
Should I grab Mike here? Let's get an answer to that electric car question he had, Steve. Mike, go ahead.
Good morning.
Hey, man.
So you guys were talking about the electric vehicles and why they were singled out. So for the last few years, the state of Illinois has been trying to, in their minds, make the electrical vehicle owners pay their quote-unquote fair share. Because if you don't purchase gas, you don't pay the motor fuel tax. So you don't pay into, like, road and bridge fund and that kind of stuff. So the guys downstate have always tried to figure out, you know, whether we raise the price of registration or we do, like, a per-mile tax and stuff. And I guess in their minds, this is the fairest way to take care of it. So this way, you know, if you buy gas in another state, you're not paying into the anyway.
Yeah, no, I get it. So, it makes sense. It's a good explanation, and I appreciate that. So that's how you have stake in the game. Doesn't mean you like it, but that's how it works. All right, let's do the MVPP.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Of all the accolades and recognition that Michael Reagan has received, I don't know that anybody's ever called you the most valuable person on the planet before. You tell me.
No, I don't think that's ever happened.
Good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning. Be with you. Good.
The Reagan Legacy Foundation has a number of things going on. I mean, 365. But in the meantime, the 75th anniversary of D-Day, this is a very big week.
Very big week there in Normandy, France, and what have you. And I've been working over there for a long time now at St. Mary Glees and through the whole area. My father was the first president, in fact, to speak at Normandy, France, on D-Day, on the 40th anniversary of D-Day back in 1984. And since then, all the presidents who followed him and gone there on special anniversaries, Trump will be there this D-Day speaking. Obama was there on the 70th. I was there on the 70th. But my foundation, the Reagan Legacy Foundation, wanted to honor those who served there in the European theater during that time. And so we began a brick project. We partnered with the Airborne Museum at St. Mary Glees, Normandy, France, first town freed by America, 4 a.m. in the morning of D-Day. And so we partnered with the Airborne Museum, and people can go online to walkwaytovictory.com, purchase a brick in the name of someone they know, a loved one, a family member, friend, what have you, and have a brick laid in the ground there at St. Mary Glees, there at the Airborne Museum, through all the walkways, so they could be remembered forever for what they did on that day 75 years ago.
That's very nice. That's a wonderful project, and I'm glad you're doing it against the Walkway to Victory. As you know, Michael Reagan, we are losing these great heroes every single day, and I mean, this is the year. This is not one thing you put off. You don't wait on this.
No, you really don't wait on it. This is a year-long project. We started about a year and a half ago with this program. And it's a great feeling to be able to honor these men and to be able to go there and look at that walkway to victory and say, hey, this guy was here, this guy was here. And for a family to have their family member or friend or loved one remembered by Sterry forever for what they were able to do. I went to the 70th anniversary of going in July with a group, but instead of going this year on D-Day, what we did with the foundation is sponsor one of those men who landed on D-Day to be able to take his family there, because it'll be the last time he'll be able to go there. Sure. He's too old. He won't make it for the 80th. That's why they made it the 75th anniversary this year. Up until now, it's always been the 10th anniversary, the 70th, the 80th, whatever. And so they made it the 75th, so they would still have some of these great, great people to be able to be there.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've had the same experience that I have had, and that's everyone I've ever met who served in World War II. There's a reason Tom Brokaw called him the greatest generation. There's a modesty. There's really a reluctance to even talk about their service unless they're around others who served as well. And, you know, I mean, D-Day saved the world, kids. If you didn't get that in history class, that's the day. That's the battle.
Well, those who saw Saving Private Ryan, that's where all the paratroopers are headed, to St. Mary Glees, Normandy, France. That's where the bridges were. And I remember the 70th anniversary, one of the soldiers that we sponsored actually went out of a plane tandem over Omaha Beach that day to celebrate. And when he landed, he and I had dinner about an hour later, and I said to him, I said, how was it? He says, better than last time they were shooting at.
Isn't that the town, too, where he had the famous parachutist who got caught on the steeple of the church and played dead for a few hours before he was able to be released?
Yeah, Red Buttons played him in the movie The Longest Day. And when you drive into St. Mary Glees, there's a parachute still hanging from that church steeple, you know, with a dummy on the end of it. The name of that paratrooper was John Steele. And at the bottom, if you make a turn down about a block, there's a restaurant called the John Steele Restaurant.
How about that?
All those people who think the French hate us, go to St. Mary Glees. You'll notice the town streets are named after those who came in and saved the town at 4 a.m. in the morning of D-Day.
Well, in all the tearing at each other that we do now, I certainly hope we can step down this week and take time to remember that everything we have, everything good that's going on in this country, that's good in the free world, it happened because of the heroes of D-Day, because we were on the verge of it going in a very bad direction had that not incredible plan worked out the way it did. A lot of lives were lost, Michael Reagan, as you know, and your walkway to victory is a wonderful way to remember those who survived. Answer.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate that. Walkwaytovictory.com and get involved, and we'll put a name of somebody that person loves or knows. And if you don't know someone, you can donate to the Reagan Legacy Foundation. And trust me, I'll find the name of a soldier we can put on a brick and put down.
That's a great point. Yeah, you could sponsor somebody, scholarship them in. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Walkwaytovictory.com. Isn't that a good idea?
Great idea.
That was awesome.
Right? A brick with somebody who loves name on it?
So. I didn't realize they had all the athletes, too, who, who went to war, put their careers on hold. And Ted Williams, of course, a guy well known that he interrupted his major league career to serve.
Think about it. I think Ted Williams did 3 years of his career in his prime were spent serving in the war.
Yeah.
Well, along with everybody else.
Yeah.
So my father served with Hank Greenberg.
Okay.
And at that point, my father was the mess cook, and he said, Greenberg sure liked the bacon. But, I mean, there were other stories as well. I'm just saying Hank Greenberg liked his bacon. 7:33. Again, that's walkwaytovictory.com, and we're back after this on 720 WGN.
This is today's Pucks in Prague clip of the day.
Jokke Haju straight away to Kane, right circle. He scores! This is unbelievable! The Hawks have tied the game with 28 seconds left in the third period, and the United Center is up for grabs!
That is today's Pucks.
Cox in Prague clip of the day.
Oh, man!
Be heard again this afternoon with Ro Khan. Be caller number...
Hi, this is Jonathan.
19. Win a Blackhawks prize pack, including tickets to the Blackhawks convention, and be qualified to win a trip for two to see the Hawks open their season in Prague, Czech Republic against the Flyers. Listen to Ro Khan today to win.
Congratulations, Dave Schroeder. Long Grove was a winner on Friday. You listen to Ro and Anna this afternoon. Between...
That would be between this afternoon, between 6 and 6.30.
Look at you, Kreskin.
How about that?
Well done.
I was trying to think what time the Sox play. They don't play.
Watch this. Hey, Viv, who's Kreskin? Do you have any idea?
I do not. Who is he?
Just trying to bring the point up that you and I are old.
No.
Kreskin was psychic. Was that the right word? Medium? You're like a card reader.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did he tell you guys?
You know, not much, as admittedly. Anyway, be the 19th caller when you hear that clip you just heard played a second time. Not now. When you hear it later between 6 and 6.30, and you can go on my European vacation to Prague, Pucks in Prague. I'll be there with you, and we do it every weekday morning at 7:40. All right, let's talk to Pat Brady. Pat Brady's in Springfield more than Lincoln's ghost. Good morning, Pat.
Morning, Steve Cochran. How you doing?
I am fine, thank you, and I hope you're well as well. I know you just got back from Springfield late Saturday night. By the way, congratulations to your daughter, Grace. Graduated yesterday.
Well, thank you very much. You've been very kind to my kids, and she's off to San Diego State. My house will be empty and on the market as soon as she gets out of here.
Oh, that was cool. You see the way he worked that plug-in?
That was nice.
That was great. Next time he's in, square footage and amenities.
Plus, Pat, they always come home, you know. They always come back.
Well, you
don't
hope.
Sell too quickly.
No, I know. They're all great, but thank you. It's a fun day, and she's a great kid, and I'm happy for her.
All right, so here's the deal. You and I have talked regularly about what might happen in Springfield, and you had a sense that a couple things were going to pop. Did you think all of this would get done?
No, nobody did, and you got to give the governor and his team a lot of credit. They got everything that they wanted from the get-go. I mean, as soon as he got inaugurated, they passed the raise the minimum wage to $15. They got a Reproductive Health Act. They got a balanced budget. Recreational marijuana, got a big capital bill done. Pretty much everything that they worked on, they got done, so congratulations to them. And I think what he said is, and I'll just paraphrase, that progressive forward-thinking vision is in perfect harmony with fiscal responsibility. I mean, they did all this, and they have a balanced budget, so I never thought it would go this great. I don't think anybody did.
How much Republican help did they have to get?
A lot of help. Not much, so much help is cooperation and compromise. And Leader Durkin made some demands, some pro-business reforms that he got into the budget. Franchise tax, data center tax credit, and some other things. So there was a lot of cooperation there, and you have to give the Republicans that voted for these items a lot of credit because they're in tough districts that don't necessarily like tax increases, which we're going to see in motor fuel tax and some other tax increases. So they recognize that this state needs a capital bill. We are the center of transportation in this country. It's important that our roads and bridges are functioning, and they took some tough votes, so they deserve credit, too, I think.
All right, so let's go through these, and you tell me. You know, let's start with the legalizing recreational marijuana. This, to me, seemed like the longest of the long shots, but it goes into effect when?
January 1st, I think this all goes into effect.
January 1st. All right. So the licenses to be a vendor, a seller of this, are they already out there?
Yeah, that's a process. And remember when they did medical marijuana, there was a process of getting these licenses, which was pretty involved. So I'm sure they will use that same process. There's still some details to be filled out on a lot of this legislation, but the most important point is recreational marijuana will be legal here.
Were there people that bought these licenses as speculators hoping this would happen?
No, there's a lot of this. Yeah, there are. I wouldn't say they're speculators anymore. It's well proven as a great business. But on the political side of it, the Democrats and I think the governor, in particular the Black Caucus, were very smart in putting this, the way this bill went through, putting in reforms, criminal justice reforms, making it a criminal justice reform issue rather than just a tax money grab issue. And I think that's what led to it being so successful and being passed.
Now, speaking of tax money grab, since all of this is for needed revenue for the capital bill and other things, what's your level of confidence that the money's going to be spent appropriately? Because there's a lot of skepticism out there that when we give people in Springfield money, they blow it.
Well, I think for on the motor fuel tax, there's a which supports the capital bill. They're going to raise the gas tax 19 cents, basically doubling it. But I think that is in a lockbox that has to go to the projects that are defined. You can't spend it on something else like they do in U.S. Congress all the time.
Did you do a lockbox reference?
Yeah, that's Al Gore.
Wow.
That's all right. And I do remember who Creston was.
Yeah, I know you do. The license fees, the registration fees going up $50. That's a big jump.
It is a big deal. You know, if you go to the license, I was over there getting a license form for the car the other day, and I noticed that people are in there. They're not people walking in there in $2,000 suits. That's a lot of people just walking up the street, opening up their wallets and giving money. So I think that one, I never have liked that because I think it disproportionately hits people that may not be able to afford paying more to the government. But that's one way and has been historically a way to produce revenue.
And did that go through as easily as you expect, or was it tagged onto something?
It's so big and so complicated. There were a series of like 7 bills that pushed all this through, and they were structured roll call votes. So there was about the same amount of support for each of them, meaning a certain number of Republican votes and then a majority of the Democratic votes. So that's how it all went through. The big debate was on, big long debate was on recreational marijuana, but the rest of these were structured roll call votes. That not being said, there was. And it's not all rainbows and unicorns. Believe me, there were a lot of sharp elbows being thrown the last 48 hours, particularly when they extended the session Friday night.
And the gambling piece of this, sports gambling, and then a casino or two casinos going in, I assume those arguments were loud?
I think it's going to be 6. I'm sorry, what was
six?
It? Yeah.
The pushback on casinos, I guess I was surprised that happened.
That bill, and that's Senator Link, who's been working on this for 20 years. I think the last time we did casinos was 30 years ago. And the way this has gone historically is they'll push this casino bill, but then it becomes what they call a Christmas tree bill because everybody throws their stuff on it and dies. But this year it got done, but there was an added element of this sports betting, which passed. You know, they legalized that FanDuel and DraftKings. But the big winner there was interesting full disclosure, I represent these guys, but Rivers Casino and the other casinos, they stopped FanDuel and DraftKings from coming in right away and operating in the state because they've been operating here illegally for years. So they're going to have slots at the airport, slots at the racetracks, and the sports betting online.
And it's the type of thing that could help keep Arlington open, which is a great jewel, because they've been asking for that for a long time. And the other tracks as well. All right, before I let you go, one thing didn't get done, which I think is a shame, especially considering the another nightmare that happened in Virginia Beach. It's called the Fix the Foyd Act. And the Fix the Foyd Act would have had you pay fees, increased fees for gun licenses, and required all applicants to be fingerprinted. It won House approval last week. And then didn't get through the Senate. And the complaint on this was it infringed on constitutional rights. There's nothing in the Second Amendment that says you don't have to be fingerprinted or shouldn't pay a fee for gun licenses. This, again, is just a stall tactic. And this is something else that gets in the way of us making even baby steps of progress towards preventing more of this stuff.
Yeah, you know, I ran into Eric Edelstein's partner, Bob. And listen, when I was down there, we were talking about that Parkland's video that they just shot.
Yeah.
They're talking about, and the point that Eric made, I thought was just so powerful a couple weeks ago, was the gun, I'm not sure what it is, but it was a Vietnam-era assault weapon, but still legal. I mean, just common sense reforms like fingerprints or a gun that was made to just destroy people. Why do we still have those on the market? And I agree with you, Steve, that I don't know why some of the people on the far right of the Republican Party don't get on board with the fact that these are completely consistent with the Second Amendment. We need something needs to be done.
Yeah, and the Virginia Beach shooter who had a silencer on the gun, he bought the gun legally. So this idea that if people want to kill people, the laws aren't going to change it, they're going to get a gun. The majority of mass shootings we've seen in the very recent past, just by memory, anecdotally, have all been legal gun owners. So if we can stop these people before they get them by way of a number of different things, including mental health checks and various other reasons, just extra steps you have to go through to prove you're worthy of owning a gun, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Well, another thing, too, I'm not sure if this passed, so I apologize, but when these people that had Foyd cards that pick up get arrested, and they still have their Floyd card, and then they don't lose their card. So that's another huge issue here in this state.
Big miss on that one. Thank you for the update on all of that, and I'll see you in a couple hours as we raise money for Mary and Joy.
Great. Thanks, Steve. See you guys.
There you go. That's Pat Brady helping us out with the Springfield cash grab. It's not all a cash grab. I mean, you know, no. Things can work out well.
Yeah, and Steve, I think one of the texters was asking what the fee on the electric vehicles tax is going mm-hmm. to be. And the reason I didn't say that earlier is because I'm not sure. And that's my honest answer to that question. The proposal was $1,000 a year, but I don't know what they settled on. So I'm going to keep looking for that.
I saw a number that was like $248.
$248?
Yeah.
Does it depend on the car or? Don't know. Anyway, Steve's looking into it. Well, you know what it's time for. Any second now, the big voice announcer could interrupt me. But Joe's told him to shut up because we're short on time. All right, Super Joe, what's your White Sox question?
Today's question involves Lucas Giolito, who had another great start yesterday. He was dominant in May. He went 5-0 with a 1.74 ERA, striking out 46 batters over 41 and a third innings.
And that's Sports Illustrated baseball preview issue. Back in, what, March, I guess? They said Giolito is just an example of the White Sox pitching problems. He's a stiff. How'd that work out?
Yeah, he was pretty bad last season, but he has turned it around.
But not this year. Bad prediction.
Yeah, his May stats put him in the running for the American League Pitcher of the Month. Since the start of the 2010 season, the Sox have had three different pitchers win the award. Name one of those pitchers.
Okay, so Pitcher of the Month. Three people have won it?
Three White Sox pitchers have won the award at least once since 2010.
All right. And we have to identify one of those?
Just one. Yep.
312-981-7200. The winner is going to get four tickets to see the Sox and the Nationals next Monday, June 10th, 7:10 p.m. Every Monday morning at 7:50, Joe gives away more of his tickets. And Super Joe was on the big screen yesterday after presenting the lineup, and he is still...
doctoring it.
Yeah, and doctoring it, and he's still, you know, telling us that we shouldn't look him directly in the eye. Couple minutes before 8, Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve is next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Let me get a quick call in here. Mike is in Elgin. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Got an answer?
Chris Sale.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, let's go to Super Joe. Chris Sale and who?
Chris Sale obviously qualifies as an answer. Jake Peavy and Gavin Floyd.
Is that right?
Yeah, Gavin Floyd, a surprising answer in the an American League Pitcher of the Month.
Well, Chris Sale is getting you into the Nats and the Sox next Monday night with three of your friends.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mike, thank you for listening, man. I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Welcome to another action-packed edition of Moron Entertainment, sponsored by our friends at Ravinia. Good morning, Dean.
Steve, how are you this morning?
Fine. Hope you had a nice weekend.
I had a delightful weekend.
More coming up on the fact that I saw Rocket Man, and it's better than you said it was.
What?
Yeah, it's tremendous. Tremendous.
It's a good movie.
We'll get to that coming up.
Know why you didn't go see Godzilla.
I'm scared. People hate me because I brought up the Jeopardy thing today.
What? Now, what did you say? Because we just got some information about all that.
Holzhauer loses today on the show.
That's what I just got also.
Yeah. Did you do it yet on TV?
I have not.
Why aren't you doing it on TV? So people are mad at you, too.
Are people like a spoiler thing, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't do it, Dean. People are really mad.
Yeah, they're mad at me.
More texts on that than on the taxes in the state.
Well, you know what? You're not wrong. We got more texts on people who hate me because I brought up Holzhauer losing a Jeopardy that we did about the fact that people are paying more money for gas and licensing fees and that weed and gambling are going to be legal in the state. So at least you guys are concerned about what matters.
Priorities. Yeah. Priority is very important.
Got that going for you.
Hey, sorry, you know, we have to, you know, we got to report what's going on. Sorry, some people don't like it.
Yeah, and it's everywhere.
People in the booth are pretty upset.
It's all over the internet. It's all over the internet. I'll say spoiler alert before I do it.
Thanks, Dean.
Yeah. And by the way, tonight on Wheel of Fortune, answer the second puzzle, Kumquat. Yeah. True story. True story. I'm just laying it out there. All right, so coming up, here's what's on the list today. Oh, Dean's got a honey of a deal he's going to be talking
about.
I
have two honey of a deals.
Oh, boy. Pete Davidson's in the news. Rocket Man's in the news. Obviously, the Jeopardy thing. There's another Jeopardy story, too, I think, right?
Well, there's a charity aspect to it, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone to say that this guy, what's his name? James
Holzhauser.
He donated all kinds of money to charity over the weekend. Spoiler alert.
Hey, do you know our own Pam Jones was on, is it Chicago PD?
What was she on? Really?
Chicago PD, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. When was she on?
She was a newscaster on TV.
Was it last week?
I don't know when it ran.
She was on the season finale last Wednesday.
Okay, let's just go with this. Pam is the worst promoter of that ever. I didn't know about it until I saw this text from, from Ryan Burr.
Let me vouch for Pam, because she actually wanted to come in and talk to you about this before it happened.
Oh, is that right?
She's here right now.
Well, who got shut down?
Yeah, we should get
I think
her
she
on.
Was just hesitant. She was a little timid. Please.
Ryan Burrell spoiled it, by the way.
Yeah.
He's
spoiler alert.
You know who beat Holzhauer? Pam Jones. Pam Jones beat Holzhauer in Jeopardy. It's a true story. I don't make stuff up.
And Michael was on Empire.
Michael was on Empire?
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah, he was on Empire.
When were you on Empire? You're the whitest guy ever. When were you on Empire?
I was on during the first season when the show, no one knew about the show. I was a sports agent.
Spoiler alert.
Did you have like a speaking part?
Yeah, you look like an agent.
Is that when you beat up Jussie Smollett? Was that the episode?
That was it. That was the same one, yeah. No, I no, not a speaking part, just I was an extra. I did a lot of really great nodding during that episode.
Dave was on Gone with the Wind.
That's
Dave,
not true.
Dave played Vivian Leigh.
No, but you remember we had a guy who worked here for many years, Michael Jordan.
Oh, my God, the guy did every...
He was on every show.
Not the Michael Jordan.
No.
Now that it was another
Michael Jordan.
It was our Michael Jordan.
He worked in our sales department.
I think he was the original Michael Jordan.
But he was an extra on, like, every show that filmed here, every movie.
Great guy.
And he would send us a list of the scenes in which you could... I'm the third guy from the left in the second scene.
Dean, you remember that? In the afternoon show he used to do. I called it the Michael Jordan Weekly Update.
Where you could remember that, yep.
He was a great promoter of himself before social media.
I was on the Wahlbergs last week. Wahlbergers.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
A couple of weeks ago, a month ago or something, they did the groundbreaking of the Wahlbergers location in St. Charles, and Donnie Wahlberg was there, but they were shooting it for their show, and a lot of people told me that they saw me on the show.
Were you, like, subtle in the background, waving, trying to get attention on you?
Trying to get in all the camera shots.
Mm-hmm.
Did you sign the waiver, or did you have a blurry...
I did sign. They did have a signed waivers, yes.
All right.
They did. I don't get any money for it, which is...
Dang it.
Yeah.
And my mother saw West Side Story this weekend, so did Dave, not together, but they loved it.
Final performance, they loved it?
I saw the final performance yesterday.
Yes, everybody. I think the mayor was there.
The mayor was there. Yes, she was.
Is it going to come back? It needs to come back.
Yeah, it's not scheduled.
There's not a chance anyone will do West Side Story again. It's over.
The same one, just have them come back.
They did. I noticed, Dean, they did update it a little bit because one of the Jets was wearing a Patrick Ewing Knicks jersey.
Oh, is that right?
Not the way I remember it from 1960 whatever.
I didn't notice that. Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe they wear different clothing for every performance. You know, I just happened to catch the movie on some cable channel over the weekend, and that's still delightful to watch also.
Donald Trump said the Jets are stone cold losers. Yeah.
Holzhauser was in the Sharks. Spoiler alert.
And Sandberg, as you know, has moved on to management. She'll occasionally be on the show, but she's moved on to management. Strolled in here at 7:30 like she starts to work
what
later.
What the heck? She looks fantastic, too.
I'm surprised she got there that early.
New clothes.
Management doesn't come in until around noon.
Oh, yeah, she'll get there. Yeah, it's early. She's installing her stupid question alert right now, so if you ask a stupid question, alarm goes off, and you get kicked out of her office. so she's busy doing that. But Viv is here this week, and Viv has produced a bunch of shows on, I don't know, about every show on the station at some point. And
hey, Dean?
She's a fellow Greek. Did you know that?
I know. We can't have enough Greeks working at WGN.
That's right. Kalimera, Dean.
Kalimera to you.
There you go.
Hey, calamari to both of you.
Hello.
I swear.
Hello.
Yeah. That means good morning, everybody.
Calamari does?
No, calamari is a fish. Kalimera is good morning.
But if you say good morning to a fish, it's Kalimera calamari.
Calamari.
Oh, very nice.
I like bless you.
I like the way Viv reached out and, like, patted me on the head. No, stupid.
No.
Calamari's a fish. But
tasty fish.
When we come back, I want you to bring up what you saw this morning online, too, because we have a budding controversy, Dean. And a question, really.
Is it a spoiler alert?
No. No, it's not. But Holzhauer loses on Jeopardy today.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720. Oh, oh, oh,
oh. Back to Dean. It's more on entertainment.
Steve, the this Kent, James Holzhauser story, the Jeopardy guy.
Mm-hmm.
I've got five spoiler alert warnings spread out over like 3 minutes before I actually do the story. How many complaints do you think I will still have, even though I've done five spoilers?
Oh, hundreds. Hundreds.
What is a million?
Yeah, thank you. Control the board, Joe. By the way, a quick Google search will show you that Fox News, The Washington Post, and The New York Daily News, if you're angry with me, you're angry with them, too. They all released the story this morning.
Two wrongs don't make a right, Steve.
Listen, I don't want to start any trouble, but Lincoln dies at Ford's Theater. And if you haven't seen that video, it's not good. Not good at all.
Other than that, how'd you like the show, Mr. Lincoln?
All right. So, Viv, what did you see? What's online this morning that we need to run by, Dean?
So, according to the Daily Mail, David Beckham shares a video of himself kissing his 7-year-old daughter, Harper,
on the lips.
Yep.
And people are hating on him?
Yeah, they are. They're trolling him.
So the question, Dean, is it okay to kiss your kid on the lips, which I think is obviously fine,
mm-hmm.
But you brought up a good point. You're asking for it if you put it online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
and you know who else did this? Tom Brady. Tom Brady, the Patriots.
He kissed David Beckham on the lips?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't post that? No, it was Tom Brady and his own kid. So, Dean, you have any thoughts on this?
I don't. How old is the daughter? Seven.
Seven years old.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
What about posting it on social media, though?
Everybody posts everything on social media. I mean, that's just a product of the times in which we live.
I would
right
think.
Now. I think I would rather see a father showing love to his daughter. It's not anything icky or inappropriate. It's a father. I mean, you know, if the daughter was. I don't know. I don't even know if it's inappropriate if the daughter's older. But, you know, I'd rather see that than someone's feet or, like, some of the crazy stuff that dominates social
media. It's too bad we live in a time where that would be criticized.
Right.
Because it's what you said. You're a parent who loves your kid, it should be totally fine.
Is it just a quick little kiss on the lips?
Yeah, but on social media, it looks forever.
Yeah, it's not going away.
Did they slow it? I mean, somebody slowed it.
No, it's not.
With Barry White music behind it or something?
Do-do-do-do-do.
That would be creepy.
All right, so we're on the same page. But you can text it on that as well, 312-981-7200. When I look at
people. What I'm looking at, it's an adorable picture.
Right?
It's a cute picture of a father giving a kiss to his daughter.
I agree, and I like her name too, Vivian.
Yeah, there you go. No wonder the story jumped out at you. Pete Davidson's a model.
Pete Davidson, over the weekend, took on, kind of a new job. He did a modeling gig. He walked the runway at the Alexander Wang fashion show.
What's his real name?
He changed it from Jones to Wang.
Right. That'll get you some attention.
He looked great on the carpet. He's got two-tone pants. One leg of the pants is black. One leg of the pants is white. He had a white tank top on, baseball cap on backwards, showing off all his tattoos. One fashion observer called the look scumbro.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's very nice. Rocket Man, I mentioned, I loved it. Loved it. And it starts off with a scene where you're going to go, I'm sorry, what am I watching? And it's tied together beautifully. And I'm telling you, if this kid that plays Elton John doesn't get an Oscar,
Taron Egerton.
Shut show business down.
I believe he's going to be nominated, too. I think it's one of the best, first of the best Oscar caliber performances of the year. But didn't you like the way just the music, the way the movie was presented?
Yeah, it's a unique way to tell the story that I've not seen before.
Yep.
And by the way, stay for the credits. The credits, they do some still photo side by sides, which are pretty amazing too.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned this because one of the photographs that is shown in the credits is the real Elton John with his husband, David. And that photograph and all the other gay scenes in the movie were all cut out in Russia. They censored out everything gay. They took the gay out of the movie.
Because in Russia, gay people don't exist,
apparently,
right? That's the deal?
Apparently that doesn't exist there. But they took out that. And they took out the picture over the credits of Elton John and his husband because they didn't want anyone to think that Elton John might be gay.
Spoiler alert, Elton John's gay.
Did they do that for Bohemian Rhapsody, too?
They did not do it for Bohemian Rhapsody, interestingly enough. Yeah.
All right, and as we continue on this important edition of More on Entertainment, as they all are, we have a James Holzhauer story that is not something that should anger you.
Apparently, a video has gone viral. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. Apparently, a video... Spoiler alert. There's three of them. Mm-hmm. Apparently, a video has gone viral that shows James Holzhauer, the Naperville native, losing on today's Jeopardy. Ending his run. He falls short of beating Ken Jennings' record by $52,000 and some change.
Right.
So that, apparently, if that video...
Is that a spoiler alert?
If the video is correct, his near record-breaking run, he probably would have gone over the total today, would have broken Ken Jennings' record.
Here's the other thing. If you and I don't bring this up, or if we don't bring it up, we're not doing our job. And if we do bring it up, what am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to go, hey, make sure you watch Jeopardy today. Something special's going on. Well, what do you think? What do you think that tease is? Right. It's the same thing.
Earlier, YouTube had it posted, and they pulled it. Because when I got here this morning, and you blew it, Steve, I went on and looked it up, and it's YouTube, and I go, it's gone! And it was pulled already.
Well, obviously, I'm a horrible person. Yes.
Well, it may be. They may have pulled the video because it's...
Not authorized.
Whoever the producer, they may not own rights to that particular video, but it's in the news.
Gene Rayburn no longer hosts Match Game. That just in.
Charles Nelson Reilly no longer on the top row.
What's the Taylor Swift story?
Taylor Swift.
As you know, I'm a Swifty.
You are a big Swifty in more ways than one. Mm-hmm. And not a Swiffer, but a Swifty. Mm-hmm.
Totally different.
She appeared at the iHeart Radio Music. It's called the Wango Tango Music Festival.
How many times are you going to work Wang into this?
It's a record-breaking day for me today to try to work that in as many times as possible, but she came out on the stage in full rainbow gear to celebrate Pride Month, and she talked about it on stage and also has published on her social media an open letter that she wrote to her senator in Tennessee urging support of the equality bill, which was passed by the House of Representatives, now moves on to the Senate. It's a bill which guarantees basic rights for LGBTQ people. And she said that, you know, we should be living in a world where everyone is respected. So there's your Swifty update.
All right, give me a little bit of real estate.
A little bit of real estate today includes...
The band is working slow today.
Michael.
It's time for Dean's... Honeys of a Deal.
Well, it doesn't matter because I can't find the story right now anyway.
Well, we're do it from memory.
The two places I've got listed for you, Steve. First is the house that you used to see on The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Where Tony Soprano would pull up to the house at the beginning of every episode. He'd come out in his bathrobe and get the newspaper out of the driveway all the time. Was the house that was... they shot exteriors there.
Okay.
All the inside shots were done on a soundstage in California. But that house in New Jersey, for sale, $3.4 million.
All right. I'd like to make you a cash offer because I just counted the cash in my wallet. Yeah. But I'd like to know what your other house is as well.
The other house is the love nest that Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston lived in when they were married.
How many mirrors in that house?
Imagine if that wall could talk.
Yeah, well, and I would assume there's mirrors on every flat surface in the house.
I'm more beautiful. No, I'm more beautiful. I'm more beautiful. No, I'm more beautiful.
How much do they want for that?
It's a glamorous estate in Beverly Hills, $49 million right now.
That's cheap.
$49 million. What am I getting for my $49
million? $49 mil, you get, let me see here, where's my listing?
Place got a front door?
12,000 square feet.
Well, that's a lot.
Five bedrooms.
Five bedrooms.
Eight and a half baths, private exercise room, tennis court that they put on the house.
Okay.
Themselves. It's 1.19 acres.
Got a kitchen?
Gated estate. Yes, there's a kitchen, a lower level bar, lounge, and swimming pool.
But apparently only one black and white TV is included in this deal. Seems odd. And how much? $49 million?
$49 million.
I think I want that one. Okay. I have $285 in cash and I'm carrying around right now.
Okay.
I'll pitch in.
How much you got?
$5.
All right, that's $290.
I have I can double it. I have $296 on me today.
$586.
Dave has been walking around with a lot of cash.
Yeah.
Ever since the gambling bill passed.
Yeah, you know, I'm just stocking up, Dino.
Is that because of the weed bill has passed?
For that,
$586. Joe, you want in on this?
Not really, no.
Wow.
Joe, enjoying the show?
Too many painful memories of Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston, I understand.
All right, $586. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say they want $49 million. They're not going to listen. I'm telling you, cash is king, baby.
I'm going to present this offer to them today.
Yeah, yeah. And the weakest partner in our three-headed monster here, Dave, that'd be Viv with her $5.
That's right.
Which she gets a share.
She gets access to watching the front door.
And the black and white TV.
So this just in, a quick update on that. James Holzhauser has bid on the house because he apparently has nothing else to do today. Spoiler alert. I think I'm supposed to say spoiler alert first, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you haven't heard anything about this.
Spoiler alert.
Watch Jeopardy today. Oof. Thanks, buddy.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
This song has nothing to do with anything. Do you think there's any chance that James Holzhauer's brother has been on this show? Do you think any chance he'd come back now? No? It's over? He had a good time. He liked the show.
Wasn't his name Ian?
Was it Ian?
It was indeed.
It was.
Ian.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah, he was. Very handsome.
Ian, you're well, I'm sure he was. Ian, you're welcome here anytime. And congratulations to your brother. And all the success he still may continue to have if you watch the show. How am I doing, Dave?
I think great so far, okay. Steve. But okay.
312-9170, 200 texters, phone calls. You're all welcome here. There is a newspaper in, I think it was The Guardian, it might have been the Daily Mail in London, and the London tabloids, they love this stuff. They love to be able to run crazy on not just President Trump, but really anybody of note if they can. And on the video side of their newspaper website, they're running a commercial where it shows the royal family on a balcony. It's various shots of London, one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And then a shadow is kind of going over the top of the city. And the last shot is of the Trump baby blimp. And it just says, he's back. So, brilliant use of the baby blimp. Meanwhile, President Trump right now is looking at a bunch of old stuff. And by that, I don't mean the Queen. Looking at a bunch of old stuff in Buckingham Palace right now. And the Queen has gifted Donald Trump with... What is it, a first edition Churchill?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
First edition Churchill book for, on Churchill's history of World War II.
Yep.
Because we know that Trumpster loves to read.
And the Queen is showing him and everybody the gift collection that she's received over the years from American presidents.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Is that what all that is?
How many has she met? I read somewhere. Was it like 13 or something that she's actually met? And her favorite was Ronald Reagan.
Well, who was her first, Truman or Roosevelt?
Gotta look
I think
that
it would
up.
Have been Roosevelt.
I mean, she was like, what, 22 years old or something?
I think she might have been younger than that.
And she took reign.
Yeah.
Being told by Steve Bertrand, she met Truman first as a princess. So that was the first...
And Truman served her term. So.
Right. So that would have been the first president. But she met him first as when she was a princess.
Think about that. Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon. Hard to believe Nixon wasn't her favorite. Ford. Carter. Everybody forgets Ford. Ford, Carter.
Bush.
Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, and now Trump. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Truman was the first president.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm so tired of this. Has anyone heard how Holzhauer did on Jeopardy? That's the conversation that's going on there right now, you know. She looks great, by the way. What is she, 94?
Something like that. You know, I was looking at pictures of her. She's really short, too. Has she shrunk over the years?
Oh,
I don't remember her being that short.
Sure she has.
Compared to everybody else, she just is very tiny.
Yes, and can no longer dunk. Am I right, Dave? Am I right about that?
I'm not so sure.
She turned 93 in April, we're being told. So now, a lot of people are saying that the president shouldn't even have made this trip. That, you know, things are very awkward and all of that. And then, of course, he insults the mayor when he lands and stuff. I made the point on Twitter yesterday, and I believe it to be true. If Donald Trump didn't go places where people don't like him, he'd never go anywhere. It's the only way he can leave the house is to go places where people don't like him. And there's a lot of Brits who appear to like him. Boris Johnson, for one. Boris Johnson is the Pete Rose haircutted former mayor of London, and he may well be the new prime minister. Last day for Theresa May is Friday, so I don't know if he's going to even meet with her on this trip. He also had hoped that the children who are traveling with him, the children are grown-ups, of course, that's Ivanka, and I don't think, was Don Jr. there? I saw Ivanka and Jared, I didn't see the others, but he was hoping that at least Ivanka could have his, he had called it, the next generation of leaders meeting with Harry and William. Problem, of course, of that is that next generation of leaders would mean that they would be elected someday. Because I don't know if the president heard it. We don't actually have a monarchy yet. It's 8:48. In politics here, again, it's amazing how much life can change in a very short period of time. But sports betting, approved casinos, legalized recreational marijuana, a capital bill. Providing money for infrastructure that are desperately needed, and a budget were all approved. And Steve, the amazing thing is I know talk goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks, if not months, but they never get down to the serious stuff till the end. And Friday was the end of session, and they actually went into overtime to get this stuff done. I mean, I'm glad they got done what they did get done for the most part. You know, the recreational marijuana, I'm fine with that. You know, they can make money off it, you know, it's fine. The gambling I'm sort of mixed on, but I'm glad that the tracks, you know, the Duchess Watt family's done so much for Arlington, in particular, Arlingtonites. I'm glad the tracks are going to get some support by finally having the ability to have slots there in different places. And, you know, in both cases, these are adult free will responsibility things. You know, if you don't have the money to gamble, you shouldn't gamble.
Right.
You know, and the other part of this, too, and I guess we'll get more details on this, but the way how quickly you talked about how quickly it happened, there clearly was a lot of this discussion that was going on for days behind the scenes, because the budget, a 1,500-page budget, was released publicly just 12 hours before it was voted on. So that tells you there had to be behind-the-scenes negotiations for days and maybe even weeks that we didn't even know about.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Now, the other thing that makes me think that this is, you know, a mutually agreed upon thing in a lot of ways, even though the majority is far and away Democrat, is there's not a lot of bitching by Republicans this morning. I mean, have you seen any state Republicans are saying, oh, my God, I can't believe what happened?
Yeah,
I've seen one.
No, I've not seen any significant. No.
So that's what happened over the weekend. When will gambling and recreational marijuana and all that take effect? Is that all January 1 or is it staggered?
Most of it is January 1. Yeah. And, you know, earlier, too, we were talking about that electric vehicle tax.
Mm-hmm.
The registration fee is going to not go up $1,000. It's going to go up $248 to $248. It was $35 for 2 years. So that's
so the new fee will be $248?
So the new fee will be $248.
A year, right?
A year.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's pretty high.
Well, but if you can afford a Tesla, yeah. You can probably afford that.
And you don't have to buy gas.
Right. And the licensing fee for your car, the registration fee, the sticker fee, goes up $50.
That's 155 bucks.
$50 for everybody, huh?
Yeah. I think seniors probably get a discount.
That's a lot of money, man. If you got a, you know, family of four and you're trying to put your kids into college or just paying for life, $50 jump, that's a big deal.
You know, and some local communities could raise, we talked about the gas tax going up to 38 cents. Some local communities could add another 3 to 8 cents to a gallon if they wanted to add on their own gas tax surcharge.
So,
awesome.
And, yeah.
Viv, by the way, has decided she's never driving again. She's just going to ride a bike everywhere.
Yes, and I'll have a carriage if you guys want to, you know.
Oh, you're going to make a little money?
Yeah, yeah, why not?
It's not a bad idea. Are you going divvy? You going to divvy it, or are you going to bring your own bike?
I'll invest.
We're going to invest in a bike.
Yeah, I'll invest in a bike. And
she's going to pull people around. Steve, that'd be a good look for you, just going back and forth to work in Vivian's carriage.
You know, and I'm thinking maybe we could come up with a name like, not Moober or Uber, but maybe Boober.
I love that. There you go.
No, you
didn't
can't
we just
that.
Recently?
No.
Wasn't that intended for something else?
We just not good.
We just had that suggestion on the show like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we nixed it. Yeah.
Was it about me?
Boober was
and
for
you
what?
Started it
stop
somehow.
It.
Yeah.
Was it about me, Boober?
Boober what?
Did they call me Boober?
Was no, was? No, no one was calling you that. No,
Mary, do you think Boober's a bad word? What?
Well, it's just not good. Think about it.
So the first thing that occurs to you is boobs.
Well, yeah, well, hello. It's the majority of the word.
Well, but that wasn't what Steve was talking about.
Well, okay, but
how is it
what are you
going to
say? Hey, I got to go call for a Boober.
B-U-B-E-R, Boober.
You could go B-W, B-U-U-B-E-R, Boober.
Oh, what about B-U?
Not a B-Bubber.
Okay, we'll think about it.
Yeah, we're still working on the trademark. So there's a little summary of what's happening.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Texter's chiming in. 630, could you please tell me where the money from the license fee and gas tax are going? It never seems to go where the politician says it will go. We talked to Pat Brady earlier about this. And Steve, what you've seen in the news as well, I mean, general fund, is that the or are they going directly to capital bill expenses?
For the
gas tax.
That is going to go into a specific fund. They're calling it a lockbox so that okay. It can only be used now and in the future for road and infrastructure improvements.
Okay. Now, the skeptics are texting in saying, you mean like the tolls were only going to go to education? Because they can't change it, but the point is, you got to watch. You got to watch them.
You got to watch, and this is more specific legislation than we've seen in a while on this. So we'll have to see if they, you know, obviously they could change it. You know, in a year they could change it and decide to go into it. So yeah, it's worth watching.
And everybody seems to write the state off. They go, well, it's always going to be a blue state. It's always Democrats. You get enough Republicans up in arms about this, and not day of the walking Trumpsters. Talking about, you know, good Republicans who believe in a Republican creed of less government, less spending, and conservative values. That's how you change things. You can't just go, well, that's what the Democrats do. 815, the electric car tax is awful. I don't have one, but I think it seems punitive. That's the $248 from, what was it, 75 cents before?
$35 for 2 years.
Okay.
It was going to be $1,000, by the way. That was the initial proposal.
And let's see, 708, I don't want pot shops in my neighborhood. We have enough people buying alcohol and walking down the streets. Well, it brings up, you know, regardless of your beliefs, are they going to zone for these? How are they going to decide where pot shops can go?
I believe, again, you're asking me a lot of questions about details of the bill that I haven't seen yet, but I would imagine that's the way it's going to be. I mean, it's the same with the medical marijuana dispensaries. They're in specific locations. There are very strict rules for how it all operates, and I would imagine that that's part of this as well.
A lot of people are saying the $50 licensing fee is going to drive even more people out of Illinois. The gas tax as well. The gas tax is going to be a big deal for people who drive for a living. You know, companies that got trucks on the road, or I suppose it could cut into your Uber or your Lyft money as well.
You know, the question about the gas tax is, again, it hasn't been raised since 1990. Had we seen gas tax increases spread out over those years so that it got us to that point, would we feel any differently about it this morning? If, let's say, we just made it to 30 cents, 38 cents after being at 30 cents for the last few years.
And there seems to be a few texters who think that the legislators gave themselves a raise in some form in the middle of all of this. If you see that, Steve, let us know. I did not, by the way.
They did get a raise, a $1,500 raise that was supposed to have gone into effect in previous legislation, and there was a problem with the legislation that it didn't, so now it is.
That's really close-minded timing, though, isn't it? We're doing all this new revenue raising in Illinois, and we're also going to add this on. But again, it's gotten very little little mention. All right, so there you go. Again, a summary of what's been happening. I don't want weed to be mandatory to ingest for everyone. Well, that's the whole argument about smoking. I don't want to have to smell your cigarette smoke. And that's a fair question to ask, too. I have no problem with any of the legislation. Increased revenues will help us greatly. Yes, we just have to make sure it's spent properly. Again, that's why you have to watch them. And I mean that literally. That's why you got to watch them. Does this mean they can't dip into it like they did the teacher pension fund? Yes, the money Steve was talking about is very specific. You've got to stay on top of politicians, and that's why the media matters. Oh, and someone else suggested the carriage rides thing that we were talking about. Said if you manage to combine it with either revenue from the marijuana legislation or to take you from weed shop to weed shop, it could be a doober.
There you go.
That's good.
I like that.
It's a doober.
I like it.
Okay. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be in just moments on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
A lot of people don't know this, but the original band name was going to be Peter, Paul, Mary, and Dave. Dave Ennett. Dave Ennett was going to be in the band.
Was I?
Yeah.
Well,
scheduled to appear right now, prior to a show at Ravinia, is Peter Yarrow. He's calling us any second now. I was talking to Sandberg about this. They changed the times on this about 47 times. And Peter Yarrow was flying somewhere and was texting her from the airplane and calling and stuff. I go, dude, it's in 1969, 1970. Come on. Ravinia's great. You're great. Let's go. So I don't know if he's going to be on or not, but we love Ravinia, and we think you should go to every Ravinia show. And if you like Peter, Paul, and Mary, they're coming up there.
It's kind of the soundtrack of my early youth.
That's why you were going to be involved.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Snap the Magic Dragon. Doesn't that go in with our marijuana talk this morning?
Kind of does, doesn't it?
A little bit. Good catch, buddy. Puff the Magic Dragon. I'm sorry.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
They both work.
Yeah. Is it a song about weed?
It is, I believe.
Sure. I believe it is.
Oh. That would have been my first question for Peter.
If he, in fact, had called? let's see. The show at Ravinia. Do we have that date? This is the Martin Theater. I'm thinking this is not. Is that Martin Theater? Is that part of Ravinia?
I think it's part of Ravinia. Yeah.
Okay, so it is June 16th. June 16th, 3:30. Doors open at 4. Public gates open at 7. Concert starts right after. I'm sorry. Let me try that one more time. It's at the Martin Theater. Donor gates open at 3:30. Public gates open at 4. The show's at 7. So, there you go.
So, who's going to be Mary? Because Mary has passed away.
Well, Sandra could do it. She's no longer on this show.
Well, I'm Mary, too, but I can't sing like her. She was 72 when she died only.
What did she die from?
Leukemia.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it was sad.
Can we have you do it, and then we just loop her voice in?
Yeah, she had a really deep... Remember her voice? That deep gravel voice?
Not so much.
It was awesome.
Peter Yarrow, by the way, quoted online as saying that Puff the Magic Dragon is actually about the loss of childhood innocence.
Mm-hmm. Which sounds like something you think of while you're on weed.
Puffing or dragging on a joint.
Well, you know, both are reasonable answers and have nothing to do with Jeopardy. So let me go to Super Joe on this. Super Joe was... honored, if you will, as a lifetime White Sox fan, to have the ability to be on the field yesterday. Or did you rush the field? Were you invited?
Depends who you ask. But okay. I would say I was invited.
Mm-hmm. And they asked you to do what?
I delivered the lineup card from the dugout to the umpires.
This is normally done by the home manager?
The third base coach for the Chicago White Sox.
Third base coach. And then the opposing team, it's the manager or whoever.
Yeah.
And they bring it to home plate, mm-hmm. where the umpires are there. Everybody shakes hands.
That's right.
They talk about any local rules that might be in play. Like if you're in Tampa Bay, we have a ceiling. You might hit the ceiling.
Yeah, there's some speakers up there. You don't want to hit those. Otherwise, it's counts as a foul ball.
Right. So special rules about the park you're in. And then lineup cards are exchanged. And then everybody shakes hands and goes back. You brought in the lineup card. Did they think you were part of the White Sox?
They did. Yeah, they thought I was the starting right fielder. Yeah,
which because your speed.
That's yeah. right. Yeah,
yeah. And was it a great experience? Had to be.
Yeah, it was. Super, it was a great time. It was. It really was. And you know, that was one of the coolest parts, to be out there with the umpires, to hear them chatting. I couldn't quite hear everything, but I wasn't gonna like, hey, what?
Speak up.
What'd you say? But it sounded like they were talking about what they have coming up. You know, what town or what city they're going to next. Cleveland was talking about who they're playing next, and you know, the starting pitchers that were going to be on the bump yesterday.
So who are you out there with in the White Sox?
The third base coach, Capra.
But
before that, I was with Joe McEwing, the original Super Joe.
There you go. And did they ask you to leave, or did you sit in the dugout?
Yeah, they had to pull me by my ear to get me off the field.
You guys need anything else? I'm here. you've been a White Sox fan your whole life.
Yeah, I sure have. So this was a once in a lifetime experience, and you know, everybody over there at the White Sox are just they're great people. So
well, great.
Yeah.
What did the?
Oh, you know who else was there? Was the guy who got hit in the head with the first pitch?
Oh no!
So we chatted a little bit about
Darren
on the show.
Georgia.
Yep. Yeah, Darren Georgia was there.
Did you notice if his flinch is gone?
Yeah.
Like you say, hi to me, flinches. And why wouldn't he?
Engineering came in my ear there.
That's fine.
What was your question?
What did the umpires say to you specifically?
Oh, they ignored me big time.
Okay.
Oh, no.
They didn't tell you the local rules?
How dare they?
They did not. I started talking, and they just talked right over me.
Jerks. That's why we hate umpires. Kidding. It's on 916, and we took care of the Ravinia folks. Okay, I can mention this. Rob O'Neill, the man who killed Bin Laden, Navy SEAL Team 6, is going to be on the podcast this week with me. We're going to record it after the show today. Here's what I'll do. 312-981-7200 is the text line. If you got a question that you would love for me to ask Rob O'Neill, I'll do it for you. I'll get as many of those in as I can. 312-981-7200. What would you like to ask the man who shot Bin Laden on that fateful night in Abbottabad, Pakistan? 312-981-7200 is the number. All right, we got some extra time now. It's 9:17. We'll come back and do more of what I like to call the CLTV hour. Dave, CLTV's watching.
Hey, CLTV.
Vivian, wave at CLTV.
Hello.
Yes, and we'll come back in a second.
I got blocked into a parking space for half an hour.
And I got the Tahoe. Tahoe's a big car.
White lighting.
Yeah, white lighting.
A guy's blocking me from behind, and then there's another car about 10 feet to my left that's also blocking me. As a civilized society, can't we all just get along? You don't block people in parking spaces. You just don't. I think I figured out how to fix parking in Chicago.
How's that?
Mobile valet. So I know I need a space, and some kid shows up at my place where I'm going, and I'm willing to pay for this kid to either sit in my car right on the street or drive it around for a while.
Okay, a couple of questions come to mind.
Go ahead.
How does he get to you?
Not my problem. He's just got to get there.
If he drives, where does he put his car?
Got to go with someone nearby.
There's always somebody nearby.
There's a simpler solution. You can always downsize from the giant car.
What are you, crazy?
No, I'm just... absolutely not. No.
Absolutely not. No way. No. No can do. Sorry.
The answer is no. Absolutely not.
Steve Cochran Show, 312-981-7200. There's a BuzzFeed story out today, which with Vivian sitting in with us this week, you know, seems to make sense. It's your folks, you millennials, you're still a millennial, right? You're on the low end of the millennials.
I am.
Yeah. What millennials wish the rest of us knew about being a millennial.
Yes.
All right. So much you agree with any of these. And by the way, Joe, you a millennial or are you out of that?
I'm a Taurus.
Okay. Ford? A Ford Taurus? Michael, are you a millennial?
I'm like on the very tail end, I think.
Okay, so you're on the borderline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's assume all three of you are, so you can chime in. Here are some of the things that people sent to BuzzFeed. When you go to a professional sporting event and you can't afford admission, concessions, or even water, being a millennial is kind of like living that your entire life. So money issues. Money issues, yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't think we understand the fact that you don't have any money?
Okay, no, I think that you guys do understand that we don't have money.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do. I think so.
Okay. Michael or Joe, if you disagree with any of this, feel free to chime in. Most things millennials gripe about aren't just whiny child BS. They're legitimate issues. Unaffordable housing, lower wages, employers requiring more experience for jobs that you can't get experience in until you get the job.
Yes.
Unreal student loan debt. These are real issues. We're not just whining. Agree?
I agree, 100%.
I don't think millennials whine. I mean, certainly no more than I do.
Not the ones I know.
Yeah.
In my family.
Number three, I'm not a tech wizard. Don't ask me how to fix all your stuff. I just know how to Google things, and I can show you that if you want.
I feel pretty comfortable helping out with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're okay with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't mind being asked about... although, I guess I am kind of short when it's like, you know, hey, how do I find this out? It's like, there's this thing called the internet.
you agree?
I agree. Yeah.
Do you help your parents or your grandparents?
I do. My dad, actually, a lot. Yes.
My kids help me a lot with that.
Well, you don't need help. Too, yeah. Why do you need help? You guys don't need help.
Okay, just sometimes with social media stuff and etiquette, that sort of thing. They kind of know the ins and outs.
Yeah, my dad has Facebook and Instagram, so that's fun.
And by that, I think you mean that's not that much fun. Right. Number four, every time you bash millennials for taking participation ribbons, remember who came up with that stupid idea? It was you.
That's a good point.
Yep, that's a very good point.
We got some really bad, this is number five, we got some really bad advice. Did everything we were asked to do, and when it didn't work, we got yelled at for not doing it hard enough. I don't entirely understand that.
There were too many words in that one.
Does that mean, like, in high school when you joined every club and you did this and you did everything right and then you weren't admitted to a certain school or something, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Number six, most people don't know the actual age of millennials. To them, a millennial is someone that they really have hate for. I don't think that's true. Number seven, the average millennial is 30. Not a child, 30 years old. Number eight, when millennials ignore your economic or career advice, it's not because we're being snotty or ungrateful and don't value your opinion. It's because the economy is completely different than the advice which may have been good in the 50s through the 80s. It's not likely to still be good. You're losing me a little there. Let me tell you why.
Why?
Because let's say, for instance, you guys have your face buried in phone screens. It's not just you. Everybody does now.
Sure.
Or, as the case was with previous millennials that work for me on the show, where you don't look me in the eye, and I'm talking to the back of your head because you're looking at a screen. You have to understand that until you run it, you're not in charge. And since you're not in charge, you have to play by the rules of the older people who are. So you have to give up some of the things that are cool with everybody your age and actually do things that, you know, might be annoying to you, but actually make you appear connected, interested, and a valuable part of the team. Make sense?
That makes sense, yeah. I agree.
That was well said, Steve.
That was really well worded. Really nice.
It sounded like respect is the word you're looking
for. Exactly.
And the only thing we oldsters ask for in return is a transfusion of your younger blood.
Yes, exactly.
On occasion, every once in a while.
And help with technology.
So that we may live forever. Number nine, $12 an hour is not a livable wage, not even close. I feel pressured to move away from the state I love because rent is so expensive. I agree. If we can do a $15 minimum wage without bankrupting companies, then yeah, of course. But you should not, in my opinion, think of minimum wage as a career. You should always strive to do more. Absolutely. I'm not knocking people that make minimum wage, but there's a reason it's called minimum wage. Do whatever you can to increase, you know, your wealth and where you are in life.
Yeah, if you can make up the difference in sports betting.
Absolutely, get all over. Yeah,
now we're talking.
I hear there may be an opening on Jeopardy. I don't know that that's true because I wouldn't want to give that away. Number 10, why is it that so many members of older generations can have a smartphone in their pocket but never take a minute to fact check something that sounds a little bit suspicious? That's really fair. Don't believe every stupid thing you hear. Actually, look it up in a few different places. So, number 11, most of us don't want kids, not out of selfishness, but because we can't afford them. Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Thought about that.
We talked about this before.
A little bit,
yeah. Yeah, and it all came down to, like, student loans, that they're still paying student loans, and a lot still have to live at home.
Number 12, our lives are harder than they look. Even in my early 30s with a good full-time job to afford rent, food, and everything else, I wish I'd been born at a time where working a job like I have now would pay for a 3-bedroom house and 2 cars, but that's not the case. I'm not lazy. I just don't think I should have to work 2 full-time jobs just to survive. You had me until the last sentence. You got to hustle to do whatever you want to do. That's it. It's not fair. It's not fair at all. It's not fair that you guys were handed the 2007-2008 crash. That's not fair in the least. It's not fair that you have all this student loan debt. But you want to do some things in life? Maybe you do have to work 80 hours a week for a while. Doesn't mean it has to last forever, but kind of the way it is.
I don't know. I'm going to defend the millennials on that one. I don't think anybody should be forced to work 80 hours a week.
I'm not saying you're forced. I'm saying it's a choice. choice you may have to make. Not fair, but it's a choice you may have to make. You were going to say?
It's unfair.
It's unfair, yes. Yes, it still is unfair. Number 13, the whole I had my house paid by the time I was 25 from older people. Houses are expensive now. Yeah, you shouldn't be saying stuff like that. You know, when I was your age, I had this. When I was your age, I had that. That's a great way to get a millennial to not listen to another word you're saying. Number 14, hey, bulletin, our planet's dying. Maybe we need to fix that. Yeah, it's not hard to, again, take that phone out and do a little research and realize that everybody who spent any time in any form of science says that we are in serious trouble ecologically. And get on board. Number 15, labor jobs are not shameful, and you can actually earn good money doing it. Trades are dying because we were all told to go to college because that's what you thought we should do. Well, I think that's a great realization, and some people aren't meant for college. So.
And I think that is changing. I know a lot of kids now who are choosing trade schools, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, you can make a great living.
I think a lot of that is changing because of the student loan thing, and that's good.
And a lot of the rest of these are why I'm on your couch and not in my own house. So, but it comes down to one thing. It's, you're not all cranky and lazy and sucking off your, whatever your parents are providing for you. And the real disturbing part for me is, Dave, it turns out we're not right about everything.
No.
That's the real shocker.
Yeah.
That's I second that emotion. Shocker.
Yeah. 312-917-200, calls or texters. Larry's in Fox. Larry? Yeah, let me get Larry here. Larry's in Fox Lake. Larry, what would you like to add?
Yeah, see, if people want a livable wage, they should either get a better education or go into the trades. Everybody wants to go to college. Our kids got to go to college. Who's going to build our highways? Who's going to build our houses? Who's going to run the electrical systems? That's number one. Number two is, if they build that casino in Chicago, where is all the money going to come from going into the casino? The lower income population is going to go to the casinos, thinking they're going to break it rich. Those are the two items I want to bring up. You can discuss it, and I'll hang up so you can talk to other people.
All right. Thank you, Larry. I appreciate you listening. We'll take a break. Come back at your headlines in just a second.
Steve Cochran, will you please report to the radio booth?
It's Steve Cochran from the Allstate Skyline Studio
on 720 WGN.
Well, in the midst of a world that has Aunt Becky's trying to buy their kids into college, it's good to have a good story that is not that at all. President and CEO Jonathan Swain from Lincoln Limited Scholars is in studio with us. And Jonathan, thanks for coming in.
No, thank you for having me.
You actually were part of this program?
I was. I was an alum of this program many years ago.
All right. So the focus here, now that you're running it, you're going to make it even better. I have total faith. but the focus here is on African-American students, high achievers, who might not otherwise get a chance to go to a great school.
Absolutely. I mean, what we find is that a lot, every student a lot of our students have the potential to do a lot of great things, but there's a gap between their potential and opportunity. And so what our goal is to do is to try to fill that gap with whatever resources are needed so that their potential can meet up that opportunity. And when it does, great things happen.
Is this just about the ridiculous costs of college, or is it also about admission and getting in?
It's about admission and getting in. I mean, look, it all comes together. They're all challenges, right?
Right.
But, some families don't have access to some of the social networks that others have to understand about college, understand how to navigate certain things. When you talk about academic preparation, like standardized test prep, a lot of students don't have access to get that kind of standardized test prep. And when you talk about a lot of schools around our city, some of them have great college counselors and some of them don't have that as robust college counselors. And so we try to fill those gaps wherever we can through the programming we provide and also the mentoring that we provide the students.
And are you learning more about the gaps that need to be filled?
Absolutely. I mean, every year, and when we do our kind of feedback loop, if you will, we're always trying to figure out and learn, what kind of things can we do to better improve our students? And we're working actually now at the University of Chicago, helping us build a framework that will help us analyze that over the long term.
So you got a super smart kid, lives in maybe a tough neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
comes from a difficult home, doesn't have enough money for his own iPad or laptop or smartphone. That's part of it too, I would suppose, right? Because technology is key.
Absolutely. And sometimes schools provide those, but sometimes they don't, right? I mean, for our program, the rock solid, the rock bottom of what we do is about college prep education. So it starts there. So we have to start there. So sometimes students don't have the access to the neighborhood school that they might want to, mm-hmm. or if they don't get into a selective enrollment school. And so sometimes we help to fill that gap. They can go to a top quality college prep school. But from there, we try to provide the things that they need to help them get to, through, and beyond college.
Talking to the president and CEO of Lincoln Limited Scholars, Jonathan Swains here. So there's been talk for a long time about how the standardized tests are biased and possibly unfair to minority kids.
Mm-hmm.
That to me seems like every problem has an immediate fix, mm-hmm. a midterm fix, and a long-term fix.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to change overnight.
Right.
So that's a longer-term fix. Mm-hmm. So is the idea here to get them ready for the test they have to take now?
Absolutely. I mean, you hear a lot of colleges that are starting to walk away from the standardized test, from mm-hmm. the standardized test as a part of their admission process. But that's not every college right now. So I think you're seeing a tide turn where schools are saying there's more to a student than what they do on a Saturday morning taking a SAT or an ACT.
Sure.
But until that happens, our goal is to make sure that our students are prepared as well as they can be for those tests, because for a lot of schools still look at those as indicators or predictors of future success.
Who's helping out? Any partners you want to give?
We have a lot. So I think the bedrock of our program is our mentors. And so every student that comes into our program in eighth grade, again, our program is from ninth to 12th grade, every student is assigned a mentor through those 4 years. And so they have been the bedrock of our program for the long term. We've gotten a lot of corporate supporters that have supported us. And Allstate, for example, is a corporate supporter.
Good people. I don't know if you noticed.
I walked in, that they're all around the room here. So they're corporate supporters of ours. You have other companies like Synchrony Financial, that's a supporter of ours. CA Ventures is a supporter of ours. And so we're seeing a lot of corporate folks. Deloitte is a supporter of ours. We're seeing a lot of corporations looking to partner with organizations like ours where they can not only support us financially, but also get their teams involved to help help their teams kind of grow in this mission of giving back to community.
How do you measure success? Because a kid goes off to school, they're in now. Have they learned something through the discipline of your program so they can handle themselves once they're put in that environment?
Yeah, I mean, programs like ours, I mean, one of the key indicators is not only college acceptance, but they always want to look at college persistence, which mm-hmm. is, you know, how do you get to your sophomore year, and then also college graduation. And so we've had a great college persistence rate, 95%, and then from a college graduation point of view, we're at 68%. We're pushing towards 85% over the next few years. That's where we want to be,
sure,
as a goal. But in terms of African-American students, we're double the national average for African-American students finishing college in 4 to 6 years.
It's amazing when you think about it that the national average is at 34%.
Financial need or financial means has a lot to do with it.
Because kids have to bail, right? They can't afford to stay in.
You know, schools are expensive, especially if you're not able to get scholarships. I have three sons. My oldest son's going to college next year. So I'm walking through this process with our families as my wife and I are looking to see where our kids are going to school. And so it's a daunting process all around.
Who found you? Who's the person that pointed you out as somebody that, you know, had potential and they wanted to help?
Well, actually, my brother was in the program before I was.
Oh, he was.
I have a brother that's 10 years older than I am. And so he was in the program before I was. And then, and so I kind of followed in his footsteps.
How do the kids come to you now?
Well, we have a lot of partners and relationships around town, a lot of grade schools, community partners, a lot of high schools, parochial high schools and private high schools around town. As they see students, they're saying, hey, you need to go talk to the Link Unlimited program as somebody you should partner with. And so because of that, we were able to get a lot of students. I mean, we have our we get applications from more students than we can accept. And so there's a huge need out here for students, African-American students, that need this kind of support.
Yeah, the more financial support you get, the more kids are going to be benefiting from it.
Exactly.
How big a deal are guidance counselors in this? Because in my world, guidance counselors are the folks that see kids that come in, they've had some troubles at home or mm-hmm. trouble on the street or whatever, but guidance counselors see this kid's got nothing but potential. They just need to be helped to get on the right path.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you see that in talking to parents, you see that in talking to guidance counselors, but the one thing that we try to do in our program is to provide a very individualized approach, because a lot of times guidance counselors are in schools and they're seeing 200 or have a portfolio of 200 kids, say, for example.
It's a ton.
It's a ton. And so they're not able to connect with the students on an individualized basis as they may like or may want to. And so what our goal is to try to support that and try to make sure that for every kid is different. So whatever this kid needs, we try to help this kid. Whatever this other kid needs, we try to help him with what he needs or she needs. And so we try to make sure that each kid has a specialized program for what we do.
And Link Unlimited Scholars, these kids are vying for some of the best schools in the country.
They are. I mean, you know, we call it success anytime a kid gets into a competitive college. But we've had kids go to Harvard. We have kids that went to Stanford, U of I. I mean, I attended Duke University, for example. We also have kids going to historically African-American colleges like Howard University and Hampton University or Hampton Institute. We have kids that have gone to Illinois Wesleyan, Kenyon, Knox College, University of Iowa. So all around the country, because it's all about the fit for that student and that school.
Do you help them figure out what is the best fit? I mean, kids can come to you and go, I don't really know what I want to do, and do you help them figure out maybe where their strengths are?
We do, because I mean, we're walking with these kids over 4 years, and so our staff can kind of have a good sense, and we're working with the mentors and say, hey, this kid may not fit in a big school environment. They may get lost, or this kid might not work in a deeply rural environment.
Sure.
And it might not work for them. So we're trying to figure out where the best fit is for them personally, where the schools that they're going to get the right support, feel like they're a part of the community, and also, obviously, are getting the most financial support as well.
You ever run into self-esteem issues with kids where they don't know it's okay to dream? They don't know it's okay to not be just cool and hang with your guys? And you know, you got to bring them in and go, look, you got a lot more to offer.
You know, fortunately, our kids don't have that issue. I mean,
they want it.
They want it. I mean, okay. We're looking at, when we do our program, our screening process, we're talking to parents, and we want to know essays from parents. What are your dreams for your kids?
Mm-hmm.
Students, what are your dreams? And we really want to get a sense as to where do you see yourself? And our goal is to try to help with the parents and the mentors to try to keep those kids on track to get to where they need to be. And fortunately, we don't really have that. What I think the bigger challenge that we have, or what we try to do for our kids, is give them exposure so they can dream bigger.
Sure.
Right? So we're sitting in a beautiful, you know, studio right now. There are a lot of kids that have never been in something like this.
Sure.
But may have heard the radio and said, how can I be a part of that? Right?
Right.
How can we expose them to people that are in industries and professions that they may not know anything about, but that might be their life's passion?
Well, just so you know, open invite.
You got
it. Invite.
I appreciate
Anytime
that.
Anytime you want everybody to come.
I appreciate
come
that.
Even if they just want to look at the lake from here, because it's a nice view.
It is a beautiful view.
It is
view.
A nice view.
Right? That's right. Jonathan, how do we help?
You know, if you're looking to support us and looking to learn more about us, you can go to our website, linkunlimited.org. Check us out, learn more about us, and if you'd like to support us, there's ways to do so on the page.
Corporate types that might be listening, same thing, just contact you through the website?
Same things, yes. You can contact us through our website, and we develop packages and programs with businesses so that we can not only talk about, you know, financial support, but we can also talk about how can we partner our scholars with your workforce, because philanthropy today is about not just about money, but it's about involvement in all things.
Sure.
And so we find ways to be able to connect in real ways.
What'd you study at Duke?
I studied economics and African American studies.
Did you know you were going to do this? Did you want to pay it back?
Well, my father raised my family to believe that, you know, you can do well and do good at the same time, and that you have to give back, and it's being civically involved is an important thing to do. And if you're not, you're really not living your full life. So I knew I'd be doing something like this. I don't necessarily know that I'd be in this position and doing this thing at this particular time, but
right.
it fits, because ultimately, you know, my personal passion is about helping people to achieve their full potential. And so this is an opportunity for me to help create a program where it's not even one-to-one.
Sure.
We can create a system so that kids can achieve their full potential over the long term. So,
you know, and you were talking to Viv off the air. You love your job?
Well, I do. Absolutely.
I mean, there's nothing better than being able to get up in the morning and you can't wait to get to work, as opposed to saying, I can't wait for work to be over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Every day I get excited about the things that we're doing, how we are changing the landscape of Chicago's future leaders, how we're really diving into the challenges of the African-American student and making sure that they can persist and succeed against all odds.
Link Unlimited Scholars. Website one more time.
LinkUnlimited.org.
Thanks for coming over.
Well, thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Bill and Wendy are here. I mean, I'll take this up with you guys in a second, but let's say There was something going on. It's like a cultural moment. And let's say that that might come to an end at some point. Would you bring it up?
No.
People hate me. People are very upset.
Well, you disclose something that is very sensitive.
Mm-hmm. La, la, la. Mm-hmm. La, 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 I'm not listening.
Okay, now you've done this for a long time.
Yes. I kind of heard
you
it.
You know about the news that's out there.
I know.
So since you know about the news that's out there, how do you plan in 2019 to avoid it? And what would you have done in my shoes?
Would have waited till tomorrow.
You would not talk about it, even though it's everywhere.
I don't know what you're talking about. La, 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 la. I'm going to watch something at 3:30 today. I don't know what's going on.
You don't know what you're watching even?
Nope.
Wow. Bill?
This is a tough call.
You would have waited, wouldn't you?
Yeah, because I would have waited.
If I had teased this, tease being the word, well, it means tease. If I had teased this and I had said, you got to watch this show today, this Jeopardy. You got to watch Jeopardy today. You're not going to believe what happens. Would that have been better?
Nope.
It would. I think it would have been better than the alternative.
But neither would
because
have.
Because that opens it up to, it could be anything.
Uh-huh.
It could be anything. Somebody you know could be a contestant on Jeopardy today. Could be a record breaking score.
Could have lost his mind and choked somebody on the show.
Right. Yeah, it could have meant anything could happen. But now we kind of know probably what happens.
Can I tell you, I actually did not tell people at our house because I want to just watch with them today. So I'm trying to hide them from it.
What? No, what? You didn't tell them what?
Anything. About anything.
At my house, they don't know that the Beatles broke up yet. I've not said a word about it yet.
I mentioned earlier, Lincoln does die on the balcony.
Steve!
Spoiler alert.
Come on!
Oh, God.
All right, for anybody that's upset with me, and that's apparently most of the audience.
But it's an average
I
day.
I am sorry. That, well, there is that. I am sorry that you feel that I spoiled it, but I don't want it to sound like I'm sorry you're sorry.
Right.
I didn't mean to create this. I just feel like I have a job to do, and this is part of the job.
Yeah.
It is.
So.
Right.
It's a great way for me to cover. Bill and Wendy next. Stand by for that. In the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be. Hello, Bill and Wendy.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
You know what I should have done?
What should you have done?
I probably should have just said, if you're watching Jeopardy.
Oh, just stop.
I'm about to
ruin it.
You're watching Jeopardy. I'm about to ruin it.
Yeah.
Well, then everybody would figure that out.
That's my point.
Right.
How do you cover the story in any way, shape, or form?
You wait till tomorrow, like we're going to do.
Should I do the same if the building's on fire? Wait till tomorrow to tell people?
Yeah. 24 hours.
Spoiler alert. You didn't have to tell me there was a fire. What are you doing today?
Scott Pelley will be on with us, Steve.
Oh, good.
Hey, I'm anxious to meet him. Right? Yes. Yes.
Spoiler alert, he's no longer the anchor of the CBS Evening News.
He is no longer
Come
the anchor
now.
Of the CBS News. But he said something last week that made people a little upset.
When he gave away the whole Jeopardy thing?
No, not that upset. No, nobody will ever be that upset again. No, he was talking about why he believes he got fired from CBS News. It's an interesting story.
Yeah, no, I saw that interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
with CNN.
Yeah, is he coming in live?
Yes.
Okay. Scott Pelley coming in just a few minutes. Do not tell him about Jeopardy.
No.
Will you quit saying it? Because now people who didn't know again. 15 times over.
Sure now. Here's Never Ruin Anything Wendy.
That's my middle name.
Who just now is working through Petticoat Junction, the final season.